follow committee meeting will run on the focus on the petitions that have been referred to our attention of the portfolio committee by the speaker, and we did forward all the notes to the department. I'm also fully aware that the response has been given to our attention, honourable members, including the petitioners, so that they're able to go through the response for purpose of this meeting or the court with the members of the committee, to allow members of the committee to interact on the issues that arise from the petitions that are being responded by the department. Will also receive on the request or referral by the speaker the issues that arise from the Zondo Commission in relation to the matters that this portfolio committee needs to interact with. You recall, members, that in our post-SONA briefing by the content advisor, issue arising from Zondo Commission with Mr. Salmon did please brief the committee and referred to deal with this matter of the Zondo detail of the letter, also the notes he has prepared, and will then take forward that matter. There's a deadline to update the speaker on the issues that are arising from the Zondo Commission. Members, I'm also fully aware that it may be the last session of the committee now that are going to embark on the constituency period. But as you know, that we have requested Mr. Matonsi to request some days with the House Chair so that we deal or we interact on the matter that relates to the consequential amendment that by members of the committee in terms of these issues. I'm also fully aware that the constituency period will request, it will be members and public reps will be interacting with the constituency platform of services. And that, I think, will in the main appreciate the continuous work that officials, minister are assisting when members of the public reps, either in parliament or councillors or ordinary people on the ground, they are raising issues with yourself, the department, and the responses were able to note that as members have already interacted with that. There may be issues in terms of the mobile trucks, which I think you must say, note the issues that were raised by members in the portfolio committee in our last discussions, that we may need to up the game of the network service, but that is an important area so that the services are received by our people. It must be clearer, Minister, I think I must raise this with yourself, that the management of the mobile tax, it does not lie with the parliament. We don't dictate where the mobile tax must go, what must happen, but you are responsible as a department with the line function on the ground to assist members of the community in terms of the scheduling of those mobile tax and also making sure that the network system is intact. I'm raising this taking advantage that I bumped into the mobile truck where Home Affairs was giving services. And I must confirm that in that system, the system was working very well. Members of the community were the committee in terms of this mobile truck. So we are going to deal with those, some of the issues which are here. The last two issues, Minister, I'm sure that you're not prepared for that, but I think you can just give it updates as you conclude the meeting on the update on the ZDP, just to give a sense as where we are. I noted the statement issued by the department, and also give us an update. Remember, the committee took a decision, mandated yourself, Minister, and Honourable Hendricks, to deal with the issues that are arising from the private members bill of Al Jama. Just to give a sense as to where you are. And I'm raising these issues because we are going to recess. We may not have an opportunity to receive this, some of this update. We can deal with that as you conclude on the item. Mr. Matonzi, I'm inviting you to introduce members in the meeting, how we're going to proceed with the petitioners and the apologies that we must record, and we'll invite the minister to indicate with his team if the apologies that must be recorded. Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, Chairperson, from the committee side, there's no apology, Chairperson. Also in the meeting here, we have here Dr. Leon, who also submitted a petition from Stellenbosch, and then also we've got the Honourable Graham Murray, who submitted a petition from the Gavenet, and then they've also indicated that not yet, they might have some of the petitioners who would like to make comments after the department has met responses on the petition. That's all, Chairperson, from my side.
Okay, thanks very much, Mr. Matonzi. Minister? Deputy Minister?
Chairperson, I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. Yeah. No, I'm sure you want introduction. I'll ask the DG to introduce his team here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister. DG?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Minister. Good morning, Deputy Minister and Honourable Members. From the department, we joined by the following DDGs, Advocate Constance Muhitse, DDG responsible for counter-corruption and security services, DDG Thulani Mavuso, responsible for operations, Acting DDG for HR, Tampane Molefe Sifanyeso, the CFO, Mr. Gordon Holambi, and then acting for the DDG IMS, today it's Mr. Mudiri Matthews, and then acting for Mr. Sigama, it's Mr. Patrick Williams. We've also invited two district managers for the Cape Wildlands, Ingrid Michaels, and also for the Cape Metro, Bongiwe Sakawuli, and then from our strategy planning team, Sitle Mtiane, and then Muzi Njoko, Riaz Musa, and then from Ministry, Sia Koza, Madiete Magua, and Modubi Maisela Kamdruli. So that's the team from our side. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. On the introductions, members, you realize that you notice that there's a matter in relation to petition referred also by the speaker on the Congolese. We have referred the matter with the Home Affairs, and they will deal directly with the Congolese matter. The other issues which we have requested the department to deal with, and you, we in our last call. committee, when they appeared on the matter, we did take in that posture that departments may need to deal with that point. Mr. Machonzi, we're not going to deal with item number 6. Can you slide it again so that I guide how we'll run on the matter? Yes. The item number 6 will not deal with it. We'll deal with item by item. The first item will allow the department to respond to that. We invite Honorable Ross, we invite the petitioner. We close on that matter. We go to a second matter. We go to all the issues, and it's how we'll run on the petitions that they are before us. So you need to remove item number 6. And we'll get members to interact with the issues that are arising from the from the from the responses, so that we have sufficient time and clarity on issues that are being raised by our petitioners. And thanks, petitioners, for also joining the meeting so that we interact with the issues in our presence and we get your thoughts on the work that Parliament is engaging on and the department. Minister, I would like to introduce the issue of South African
thank you. Approach. And then I'll follow up thereafter when we get
can I introduce
I just want to get your understanding.
I hear you saying we
Minister,
and then finalize it and go to the other. So when I introduce, can I only introduce the first one, the issue of South Africans abroad? And then I'll follow up thereafter when it's closed to go to the next one. I just want to get your understanding.
Yeah, what do you think, Minister? We must introduce all the petitions, and then we'll then invite the petitioners, the first petition and the petitioner to comment on the matter, and then we interact, we go as all the issues.
Okay. No,
thank you very much.
Yeah, Chair, the first petition from Honorable Rose about South African living abroad, Honorable Members, may remember that we raised this issue many times in this committee because indeed it is a problem getting a passport when you are outside the country for those people who stay overseas than inside the country where you can get your passport within 5 days to a maximum of 13 days. Overseas, it takes a very, very long time. The reason being that the Department of Home Affairs doesn't have any IT automated connection with the missions abroad. Remember, the missions belong to DELCO. We are just using them because they are Home Affairs officials in each mission. But we don't have any direct IT connection with them. So the passport, after being applied for, must come to South Africa via a diplomatic pouch. And the diplomatic pouch is not controlled by us in Home Affairs. It's controlled by the DELCO because it is their bag. We're just using it, as you know, what a diplomatic pouch is and what it carries and what it helps. But realizing that this is a problem, we came to the committee and told you that we are looking for an alternative method which will be much faster. And we said we are piloting that in London, because that's where we found most overseas-based South Africans. So we piloted that in London, and we said when the pilot is successful, we'll move over to other countries depending on the number of South Africans there, meaning that we are not saying we won't move to every country, but we start with those which have got a particular number of South Africans who we know will need the services. So I'll leave over to the officials. I'm not sure whether it's the DG or Mr. Mabuso to give you the details of that, but I just wanted to give you a background. That is not something that is entirely new. We've been fighting with the issue. We've been trying everything to make it smoother for people overseas to get their passport. The second one, Chairperson, about Stellenbosch Municipality, the residents there from Dr. Schreiber. Also, Chairperson, you remember that, I'm just giving a background also. We came to the committee to look at our footprint around the country and realize that it's going to take a very long time if we use the method which we are using, where we've got static buildings which must be connected, and in terms of the law, the buildings belong to public works. They are the ones that must acquire them for us, and sometimes they make us wait, etc. And then people have to travel long distances. We then decided that the main delivery mechanism of Home Affairs will be through mobiles. Then that's why we, all these years, Home Affairs have been having only 100 mobiles. But now we have added 20 new mobiles, and we have informed you we have ordered 100 more mobiles that are still being put together in Gqeberha, in a factory, in Isuzu factory in Gqeberha. We don't know how long it will take. I've arranged to go and pay a visit there to see how far are they in producing the 100 trucks for us. When they come, and we said it will be before the end of the financial year, we'll have increased the mobile units by 120%. And we also announced that we'll keep on adding every year, every financial year, until we have got 1,000 mobiles. So that's what we said. But the problem we might be experiencing is all the mobiles we have got in the field have got a timetable and a program of where they must go when. Now, sometimes it does happen that honorable members visit, and their visit does not coincide with the time, the program or the timetable, which is drawn locally, because it's not drawn by us. It's drawn locally, agreed with local authorities there and people on the ground and communities there. So sometimes it does not coincide with members' visit, and it might be a problem, seeing that we've got such limited mobiles. Before we get these ones that we've ordered, unfortunately, we'll be living with that type of situation. The last one, I think, is more or less the same thing. The issues of craft rainet, which I think is the second time that is raised in this committee about what's going on there and what is that you are trying to do. I'll also leave that to our officials. And Chairperson, I'm happy that you mentioned that the decision as to where the mobiles must go and the timetable rests with the Department of Home Affairs, because we are the ones who are on the ground every day delivering this type of service, which is our mandate. But also you remember that 2 years ago, the Deputy Minister of Home Affairs, Honorable Nzuza, and the Deputy Minister of Basic Education, Dr. Mhaule, actually in a school in Mpumalanga, launched the school program whereby mobiles must visit schools, in our attempt to make sure that learners should not be coming to Home Affairs in uniforms, should stay at school and learn. They are running that program. It also uses mobiles. So you can imagine the few mobiles that we have to be shared among communities and schools. And that's where the problem is, because when members go on the ground, they may not see them and they may not believe mobiles are active, but I can assure you they are active every day. It's only that they might be active in a different part of the country where we are, or in a different part of schools where we are, but we are hoping and praying that the 100 mobiles we have ordered, we get them timers. Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me allow either the DG or Mr. Mabuso to come up with the issue of what is that which you are doing about missions abroad. Thank you.
Thank you, Director General.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you, Minister. So in response to the first petition by Honorable Ruos, just to indicate the following, that one...
Sorry, DG, I'm not sure whether we can fly it so that also benefit members of the community who don't have a written response for petitions.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you, ladies, Chairperson. So firstly, Chairperson, thank you, Honorable Ross. You'll recall that in 2019, just before I come to the response, this our own IT team from the Department of Home Affairs visited the UK mission, and with an intent to look at the installation of e-Home Affairs and live capture at these missions, in order to reduce the turnaround times for South Africans that are living abroad. And of course, that installation, we also needed a review to be conducted by a state security agency to make sure that there are no penetrations that might lead to either vulnerabilities and cyber attacks. Now, before that exercise could be concluded, of course, then there was COVID. However, the Department of International Relations then started with the data modernization project, which has just been completed by the Department of DERCO, and at the moment they are now migrating data with a view to integrate that with the Department of Home Affairs to ensure that we are able to respond quicker and faster in terms of our turnaround times. So amongst others, we have this working group, which will also tap into what I've just said with regards to the new system of DERCO. We've established this working group between ourselves aimed at reducing turnaround times for applications that are lodged in the foreign missions. And of course, this working group will also be looking at the integration of the systems that I've just referred to. But further than that, Chairperson, we found it necessary to look at solutions to address the delays and challenges experienced by citizens abroad when they apply for various enabling documents. To that extent, myself and the DG at DERCO, we then issued a directive signed by both of us to ensure that the strict compliance by missions, and also to ensure that there's an improvement in the turnaround time for applications regarding various enabling documents to ensure that the shortest turnaround times are derived. So this entails, amongst others, the following schedules. The Minister spoke about the diplomatic bag, which is really work that's done within the purview of the Department of International Relations. So we now know, Chair, that there are high-volume foreign missions, such as the USA and the UK. So in those missions, the solution that we have introduced is that at least the diplomatic bag should now be shipped twice a month. And then you also have low-volume missions, particularly the ones on the continent. So this will be done on a monthly basis. And of course, while this service was impacted during the COVID-19 regulations, they've now reactivated it, and the new service provider has been appointed by the Department of International Relations. The third area you will recall, Chairperson, is that in 2022, the Minister, in his introduction, indicated that we launched a pilot passport application service in three locations in the United Kingdom. Now, from that period, June 2022 to May 2023, we have been able to issue more than 10,042 passports to South Africans living in the UK through this VFS partnership. And of course, the turnaround time has significantly been reduced. In the past, it used to take between 180 to 270 days, and now it's now shortened to 60 to 90 days. And as we improve the systems, we hope we can even shorten that period even more. Now, based on the success of this system that was launched in the UK as a pilot, we now have a huge number of requests from various missions, UAE, Dubai, USA, New York in particular, and Washington and the USA, and then of course New Zealand, particular Wellington, and then of course in Australia has been Sydney and Paris in France. Now this is in countries where there's a population of more than 20,000 of South Africans. So we're now looking at rolling in the same service to these areas because of the demand by South Africans for enabling documents. Of course, this is subject to contractual discussions with the service provider. So that's the response, Chairperson, to the petition that's from Honorable Ruos. Thank you, Chairperson.
You can proceed to the second petition.
Chairperson, I'll invite DDG Mabuso to then address both the petitions with relation to Stellenbosch and also Graaf Reinet in the Eastern Cape. Thank you. Over to you, DDG Mabuso. DJ Mabuso, Mose, if you can fly the presentation.
Yes, no. Good afternoon, Chair and Honorable Members. No, I will share the presentation from my side.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mabuso. It's still morning. We don't know which part of the world you are. Here in South Africa, it's in the morning.
Oh, my apologies, Minister and Honorable Members. So I will just share the presentation in relation to the petition for Stellenbosch. So the presentation is just a short overview of the area that we are serving and where Stellenbosch is located, and some of the services provided by the Stellenbosch Medium Office, and our plan to increase the footprint in the Stellenbosch area. So this is just a geographic layout of the Cape Winelands district where this office is located, and where also DHA has a footprint. So the Cape Winelands, Honorable Chairperson and Members, is the highest second population within the Western Cape, with Cape Metro consisting of about 62%, and then Cape Winelands at 14%. And then 18% of the provincial staff complement is also deployed in the Cape Winelands, those offices that we have indicated. And the offices in this particular district with the highest volumes include Paarl, Stellenbosch, Worcester. They're also busy because of their close proximity to the metro in particular. The route, obviously, from the metro has a number of offices, which include Mitchell's Plain, your offices in Khayelitsha, the new Epping office, and in Nyang. And this is just the population in that particular area in terms of the population spread. I'm not going to spend much time on that. But in terms of SSA, these are the population numbers that we have in that particular area. It's sitting at just about 176,000. And the areas at the bottom that are being serviced by our offices there. The Stellenbosch office specifically, Chair, has about a staff complement of about 8 officials, which includes, obviously, the office manager and the one hospital clerk that is servicing two hospitals in that particular area to ensure best registration in the area. So we moved this particular office in Stellenbosch into the current premises in December 2018 in order to ensure that the office can provide modernized services. This office includes smart cards and passports. And the improvements were although not comprehensive, they managed to increase the capacity with the waiting area increasing from about 8 to 30 seats from the old facility, and obviously increasing the counters to up to 9 and the photo booth. And the office also migrated from the legacy office to a modernized one by ensuring that we issue now no smart card, not green ID book. The building is currently owned by the state and is managed through Public Works. And we also have security services that are provided by the department. There also, as I've said, that we provide the roaming services to a local hospital in Stellenbosch and the private facility, which is MediClinic, where the hospital does the registration. Basically, those hospitals do not have connectivity, but I'll talk about that in the next coming slides. So in terms of the previous financial year, I mean, when you look at the targets for birth registration, we had, that office had a target of about 1,258. They exceeded the target, 1,628, including the smart cards, the target of about 5,162. They were able to give us 12,988. So I think it just shows the demands, but also the ability of the office to actually meet that particular demand. As I've indicated, that we have two hospitals that we have an official that visit those hospitals to do registrations. These are the two private hospitals, so the one private hospital, which is MediClinic, and then the public hospital. We have not connected the offices with our systems, but they are going to be connected now in July. They are part and parcel of 346 facilities that we ought to ensure that they are all connected. So we currently have the official who is roaming, in other words, roaming, going to this collect and then go back, register in the office, and then take those birth certificate back to the hospital. So in terms of our efforts to reduce waiting times, obviously this office, we have indicated a clear signage in the offices in terms of the categories, where those who are there for smart card and passport applications are separated, those who are there for collections. It makes it easier, because you'd find that if it's just one queue, then it becomes longer. But if you separate the services, it's quite clear. We also prioritize it.
DG Makode.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
So proceed, DG. Proceed. I thought it's cutting. I think the network's on my side. Apologies. Proceed, DG.
Thank you. So the office does prioritize different categories of clients. Basically, our life capture system is built in such a way that when you pull a ticket, if you are able to prioritize the tickets, so you're able to say elderly person, person with disability, pregnant mothers, and then they can be able, even if a person is number 100, but if they're still number 50 in front of them, they will be called first, because the ticket is able to be prioritized automatically on the system. And then obviously the learners that are accompanied by their parents to do smart ID cards for matric examination. These are the ones that the minister said that we ideally, we actually want to do the applications from schools to avoid them obviously coming to our offices. And then also office managers, the office manager and all office managers in our department, they have a compulsory brief that they need to walk the floors to ensure that they are able to monitor and direct the clients, and also provide continuous communication to clients. And also we've asked that we increase the awareness. We've put pamphlets where we increase awareness on our pilot, on our booking system, which we piloted last year. The booking system has been a success. Over, as we speak this week, over 1.4 million users have used it since July. In Gauteng, it's working very well with offices that have taken up. So all the other provincial managers are also mobilizing their clients to ensure that they get used to the booking. Just the pictures provide the old office space, and on the right-hand side, top right, is the new office counters and the new office interior and the waiting area on the bottom left. So what we're doing also is that we had a partnership that we have with the banks. We are supposed to have increased the capacity at Stellenbosch with the Absa Bank that was supposed to be opened, but we had a few issues relating to equipment and also identifying staff that will go to those offices. So our plan is to open this office on the 26th of June to provide the services through our e-home affairs platforms for clients who are applying for passports and smart ID cards. The infrastructure for the bank branch will include obvious two waiting areas, two counters, and just one photo booth. And also the branch, as I said, will provide those two products. The challenges that we have with the office is that the space in the Stellenbosch office remains a concern to us. We have not been able to get an adequate office that can actually serve the clientele. That's what we're still obviously committed to look for a bigger office space to increase even the waiting areas, in particular to increase the staffing capacity to be able to service the area much more smooth. And also our load shedding issues continue to disrupt some of the services, even though we do have the generator that needs to be switched on and off during the rebooting process.
and also system stability, obviously, during working hours does affect and contribute to some queues because it's a small office. This is an area where we have an intervention that we have reported to the portfolio committee on the work that we are doing with the CSIR to improve the systems availability throughout the country. So work is continuing. I've indicated that the human resource capacity is receiving attention, but also where we are affected by natural attrition, we do try and ensure that the post is filled as quickly as possible. Thank you, Chair. That then concludes my presentation on Stellenbosch. If you allow me, Chair, I can continue to the next one on the Graaf Reinet.
Yes, Prophet TDG Mavuso. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. On Graaf Reinet, Honorable Chairperson, the office received a visit by members of the Democratic Alliance, so either in the national free of government, also a local government. So this took place on the 19th of April 2023. The department was visited by members, delegation of about approximately 10 leaders. They were led, obviously, by the member of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Kanyile. The petition, obviously, came from Honorable Samantha Graham-Marais, who was accompanied by some of the councillors in that particular area. So, Chairperson, basically, the Graaf Reinet office is located within the Dr. Beyers Nodier local municipality, which is the focus point for this particular report. This municipality was as a result of the merger of a few local municipalities within the area where Graaf Reinet falls into. So just to, as a way of demonstrating, Chairperson, the office which is located in Graaf Reinet in the CBD, the other towns where there's no Home Affairs footprint, we have indicated them there, there's a list of those towns and the distance in terms of where they are located in terms of the proximity to the office. The next one, Chair, is just to indicate that office in Graaf Reinet is the same as Stellenbosch, has about 8 officials, which is the office manager, the control immigration officer, immigration officer, and 4 civic service clerks, and the cleaner. And just safe to say that the same officials, obviously, they are also responsible for ensuring that other functions in the office are also managed by them, including human resource functions, be it leaves, management of assets and in the office and finance. Chair, there are a number of issues that were raised by the honourable members. I think the first issue that was raised in the report from on the petition was that there was no schedule that is made available to the members of the community to know when the mobile units are visiting various areas. So, Chair, the mobile unit schedule for the province is developed in line with our DHA access model. We have presented the issue of the access model to the office, as the minister has indicated, that what we learned out of the access model was that some offices where they are built in certain towns, like in Graaf Reinet, it's brick and mortar office. So it means that the citizens must travel to an office to be able to process applications. So the access model says to us, but you should actually be able to reach those communities that are poor, that do not have fares to travel 100 and odd kilometers to the nearest office. So hence the increase in the footprint of the mobile unit will actually improve that particular situation because the services will now be coming closer to the citizens. So the minister also talked about the issue of the MOU that we have with the Department of Basic Education, where there's a program for mobile units to visit those particular areas. So in this particular municipality, there are 4 methods of providing services to the communities in this municipality. One is first is the office in Graaf Reinet. 2 is the visit that we do to hospital. 3 is a mobile office visit. And then obviously a special community visit. This is when you have high impact projects that the province from time to time, actually all provinces do, where they mobilize all their resources and go to a specific event just to have a high impact project, be able to mop up a bed registration where they have not been done.
So the last three methods are meant to provide services access closer to the citizens, and also the schedule of visitations is also shared with local stakeholders, where it's communicated through councillors to the speakers, to the mayors of the within this particular area. The district that there's two mobile units that service the Nelson Mandela municipality and also Sarah Batman. So these two mobile units, they also utilized in this particular municipality to visit certain areas. Chair, I'll be the first to admit that they are not adequate. In this current financial year, as the minister previously indicated, there are 100 mobile units that have been bought. They are going to be delivered within this current financial year. Again, each province will get additional mobile units, in other words, increasing their footprint. The order has already been placed. They are currently being produced. So we expect that they should be delivered. When mobile units obvious plans to visit these areas, either the community or schools, they get obvious notifications from the office of the speaker notifying them about the visits and the areas to be visited, including the notification by councillors and ward committees of the area, so that members of the community can be mobilized through CTWs to ensure that certain targeted groups, because there are certain areas where we know that social services, social departments would have raised issues to say, we've got children in this particular area, so it becomes a targeted intervention. So that's how we have been handling this particular matter, as we have indicated that this office in Safremit does not have its own mobile unit that is permanently allocated to it, but it's one of those that will be prioritized in the distribution of the next coming mobile units. We also indicated that the health facilities that are located there, where we also provide the services, with a few officials visiting these offices, as we have indicated, some of them we visit, like Midlands is daily, on a daily basis, Aberdeen is once a week, Sowas Hospital is twice a month, and then Willowmore bi-weekly. And then that just indicates some of the best registrations that have been done in those particular areas. On the generator for the office, there was an issue that was raised about the non-functional generator. It is true that the landlord owns the generator, not the department, and they have tried several times to fix the generator, but the problems persist. We have agreed with the landlord that we need to ensure that the generator is fixed no later than the middle of June. If not, if that fails, we will then procure our own generator and install it, because it does have a huge impact when there's a load shedding. The issue of the payment, where the members raised the issue why the office is using the point of sale system, which is the speed point, and to say how do we handle clients who do not have cards. We do offer the hybrid payment system within the office, but we discourage or encourage clients to use card instead of cash, because, Chair, we have been targeted in many offices with the issue of cash. Not only do we have problems of cash management sometimes by staff members, but we also have a situation where the robbers occur. Last week, we had the same issue in Mpumalanga, where an office was robbed of cash. So we want to ensure that we minimize those incidents of cash in the office, if there is cash, but it must be very little. In terms of downtimes, I think I've indicated that the issue of the system downtime, if it's nationwide, we are dealing with that issue through the intervention of the CSIR. But if it's isolated incidents like system interruptions due to load shedding and cable theft, that impacts on our citizens' ability to provide connectivity. Obviously, this is something that we deal with it together with our CITA and the service providers that provide network connectivity. Incidents of cable theft are increasing. The issue of load shedding and the absence of the generator in that office is obviously creating breakage in services. So where there are experiences of system downtime, obviously we've got a regional IT officer who's responsible for attending to all the offices in that area when the system is down, to ensure that the recovery of the services that clients are assisted immediately after that is something that is continuous, and we are monitoring that. Chair, there was another issue that there are no designated areas for queues and there are no signs inside the office where people are collected, appointed to collect their IDs or passports or apply for birth certificates. Chair, I wish to confirm that there are signs in the offices in the office for services and designated queues for collections, and also the flow of working is done in the office. The office manager does that with the delegated officials. Chair, the office is not one of the busiest offices. However, on the busy days, they also use additional services of an intern who helps to direct the clients to ensure that they don't wait for long queues. The office, Chair, there was another issue that was raised with is the office, one of the offices that are having a booking system, and how does the clients who have made the booking when the system is offline. Trafrenet is one of the offices that that are on the booking system, and the BAP system is mostly utilized, you know, by people who have access to smartphones. But we have provided the office with the tablet so that they can also assist the clients to make the bookings. But when there's load shedding or system downtimes in the office, the manager communicates with clients and advises the clients to reschedule their appointments or request the clients to come back when the system is back online. There is that communication where clients are called and then they get prioritized if their appointment was disrupted. And then there was a question in terms of the estimated number of clients that are serviced per day. As I said, that on a normal day, it's not a busy office. The office services about 80 people per day. This includes all the services. So in other words, those who are there for birth, those who are there for death registration, those who are there for smart cards or passport application. So it differs, different types of service differs on a day-to-day basis. But if it's busy, in particular during month end or during school holidays, the office can see about 150 or so clients, and the queues are manageable when all staff are on duty and the systems are up and running. Chair, I think I've answered this question earlier in terms of the staff complement in the office. Obviously, we're looking to ensure that we are able to increase again. The limitation in terms of the COE of the department makes it difficult for us to, put more numbers in offices because of the limitation. But again, through the minister and the DG, we have had at least this year been able to fill over 600 positions in flat offices based on the funding that was made available by National Treasury. So we are continuing to do so. And there was a bias towards front offices instead of immigration because the minister wanted to ensure that all offices have heads or they have managers, because we couldn't run offices without having managers. And then they have indicated earlier on the mobile visits to say that the methods that is used, because this question was raised twice. And then the other issue is how best are we assisting the clients and ensure that they receive their passports as they apply on time, and it's not their fault that systems are down. Chair, what we have said is that with regards to passport collections in particular, when the systems are down in that office, the official use the manual register they follow a procedure that is needed to be followed to assist the clients. And then clients for passport collections are not sent back. We are able to update at the back end. But we only give those who are there on their own for their own passport. We don't do third-party collections for passport and smart cards. We need to ensure that the rightful applicant and the owner who must collect his own applicant. So we do ensure that we don't do that. And then there was an issue that Bethesda was never visited by the mobile units, and there's a high rate of unemployment in the area. It is true that we have not had a visit in that area to a mobile unit. However, there is an office behind that visit, that particular area, in terms of taking ID applications. So it's one of the areas, obviously, that would be prioritized. The area has been noted to include farms around it, and we need to ensure that those people in farms also get services. In terms of the equipment, whether they are mobile units are equipped with necessary equipment, yes, so we've got all the necessary equipment. Our mobile units have got a generator, they've got a photocopier, they've got a scanner. So clients that come without any copies, because also not having access to resources, we are ensuring that they are not turned back. We help them. The only clients where they are struggling with the copies is those that our only service when we go with the car to collect those applications in that particular area. But obviously, as I've indicated, the additional mobile units will create the capacity for us to be able to do that. There was an issue that was raised that the camera is not functional. We checked with the officers. We are compiling the report. The camera is fully functional, and it is probable that the camera is when the camera is not working, we would get photos elsewhere, infuse it into the modernized system. It is not possible, Chairperson, that with a modernized system you can bring your own photos. The only time you bring your own photos is when you are doing a TIC, which is a temporary ID card certificate, or a clean ID book. But with the smart card, you have to have a functioning photo booth for you to be able, because of the integration that has been designed. The next one is around a bunch of IDs collected by people of Widowmore and hand them to communities. We don't give a bunch of IDs to be distributed, because with the IDs is you need to authenticate it live. You can only collect the smart ID card when you are in the office or when you are in the mobile truck, because that's when you need to be able to authenticate. So I think it's very important that we refute that. And then secondly, the hospital clerk or the LRP team, which is later registration of birth team, is also visiting a number of areas where they do collection utilizing the mobile units. Chair, there was another issue that was raised that said there are no stakeholder forum meetings and that people are complaining about not having information about our office services. The office manager in Kraft Reinet is actually the secretary of the stakeholder forum. And it was mentioned that when the executive members have issues, they visit the office manager, who's the secretary of the committee, to address issues. And also Councillor Williams is also a deputy chairperson of the committee. So they have a right, obviously, to request the meeting with the deputy chairperson where there are pending issues in the area. And if the office manager is not around, there is a deputy secretary who can also help to convene the meeting. Chair, this is information I'm just providing. These are some of the conduct details for various key role players in all the work that we do, be it in the councillors in Aberdeen, the principal of the high school there where services are brought, and also the issue of the maternity leave. So the maternity hospital, maternity ward in the Aberdeen hospital, and all the conduct in the other areas. Chair, I would like to stop here just to indicate that the next slide is just to indicate some of the statistics when mobile units have visited certain areas, be it Aberdeen, Willowmore, and all the other areas right up until the last area that we mentioned, which is the Bethesda, which we've already sent a DHA car. So, Chair, in conclusion, we're saying that the office does offer services to the people of the Beas Nodier local municipality, and that when the truck is planning to visit, the schedule is made available and the people are notified through the local municipality. And also the councillors, the CDWs, principal of the school and community members are also informed by WhatsApp groups to ensure that mobilization is done. And then we just provided the summary of services outside the home of Home Affairs of Home Affairs by mobile truck or vehicle from the previous financial year. Thank you very much, Chair. That concludes then the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks very much, Mr. Mabuso, DGG. DG, can I check if those are all the responses for the attention of the committee and the petitioners?
Chairperson, I think Mr. Mabuso has covered all of them. I think on the other one you have already ruled with regards to the Congolese Society.
Okay, thanks very much, DG. Thanks, DG Mabuso. Members, these are the responses which were commissioned for the petitioners as a result, as indicated earlier on. I'm going to invite Honorable Ross and also the petitioner to comment on the response, and invite members to comment on the issues you might have identified. Then invite the department to respond or comment on the issues that might have raised, and then we'll move to the second one. I'm fully aware that Honorable Ross may, I mean, on the first point, you'll comment also, and invite the petitioner also to comment. Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, with your indulgence, may we just ask that the petitioner speak first?
Okay. No, thanks, Honorable Ross. That's fine.
Thank you.
Can you invite him?
Okay, so the petitioner is Mary Truman Packard.
Okay, thank you. You can then comment on the response you've received from the department. Thank you.
Thank you for having me today. I just wanted to address a few concerns that have been addressed by many of South Africans abroad. They were speaking about the debug times, which I know that she's heard that she's addressed about twice a month. There's also some concerns. Now, we've got some responses about people who got their passports recently. It has seemed to, and this is in the UK, which it seems has arrived on time, so they've gotten their passports within 3 months, which is great. It's really nice to hear that there's something being done. And we realize that there could be an issue for other people getting passports, that there may be an issue arising regarding payments online. Perhaps on the documents there is nothing that has stipulates where they can pay, how they can pay, and maybe perhaps you could better that and add all the payment facilities, what they need to do. And also we realize that when people are outside, now we're not just talking about the UK, I'm in France, for example, outside of France, we have people sending self-addressed envelopes to the consulate. Then the consulate has to put them into the bags, and then the bags has to come into Home Affairs. Now, we realize that there is a delay on time also with the fact that they've changed over new roles, and there's people that have I'm trying to find the word because I'm thinking in French, that have left the consulate now, and they're rehiring new people. Two people in the consulate in Paris, for example, doesn't seem to be efficient because so many people are trying to call in and nobody's answering, so they're having issues with that. Thankfully, I can get back to people and I go to the embassy and I can sort that out, but I'm just thinking about people in other embassies who can't go to the embassies and say, could you sort out things for people outside of their CBD areas? So that's what I've been noticing are issues. So we also got to understand that, I don't know if I heard this correctly, you have mobiles that could be available.
Ms. Packard?
Yes.
I have noted issues you've raised in your intro. I wanted to assist you so that we are structured in the issues we're dealing with, and members are following. The department has responded to your petition. I'm not saying that those issues are not important to raise, but we will request you to, in the main, focus on the on the response, so that you also assist members whether the issues you have raised are indeed what the department are responding and what is the service plan around. I'm just wanted to narrow your focus around that, but noting other issues which you are dealing with. Is the response on the petition sufficient in the manner that you have raised? Because the committee has a responsibility after this meeting to write back.
I'm satisfied with some of the responses, so thank you very much for that. I just want to have a little bit more clarity on the new mobile that you had mentioned, please.
Chairperson.
Yeah, can I just beg your indulgence, Chair? If we could just ask the petitioner to introduce herself and just tell us her role, I think it's going to help us as members of this committee. Thank you.
Sure, sorry. Thank you. I had forgotten to introduce myself. My name is Mary Truman Packard. My role is chairperson for Europe, for France and Europe, and I've been with the DA since DA abroad since 2014, and doing a lot of supporting them a lot. So there we go.
Okay, I'm coming back again because I want to assist we members of the committee, as I've indicated, Ms. Packard. Are you okay? Let me. I think Honourable Ross also will assist, I think, as he comes in. Is the response of the department on the petition satisfy what you have raised with the speaker for our attention? And what are the issues, limitations around that response? I think if you can assist us around that, then we'll move.
You know what? There is no more response. Thank you very much. I'll let Mr. Roos add to that.
Okay. No, thank you. But if you get something that you are not highlighted, you can come back. Honourable Roos?
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think just perhaps it's because mobile units were mentioned as part of the response that could have caused a little bit of confusion in terms of that being linked directly to the petition. But Jefferson, we welcome the establishment of the Home Affairs and DIRCO Working Group, and really a big thank you to the DG of Home Affairs and to the Minister for taking these cries seriously and really taking some actions to date that have already started to address these issues. Chair, I think we need to understand that many South Africans go overseas because they can't find work here. And so sometimes there's a perception that they are rich and they can travel all over the place, et cetera, but this is not necessarily the case. And really, you know, with currency weakness and that often these persons move overseas, they actually have a reduction in lifestyle. So I think it's important to understand that when we look at the services and how South Africans abroad interact with these services. Especially flying across vast territories to go and make an application, things like that. So DG, I mean, you've issued a directive to ensure strict compliance by missions and improvement in the turnaround time for application. It sounds like this is essentially directing persons to do their work. Are there any specific measures in there? Or targets that persons have to reach, response targets, because if one is just saying, listen, you need to comply and do your work, I think you might find that it's difficult to measure the outcome. How are we improving? Is it improving? And how do we identify where there's gaps? Because as you've mentioned, it's still a fairly manual process. I've seen numerous press releases and stories overseas of the ability of other countries, such as India, to issue passports within a week or two from a foreign country by implementing new technology. And I think as much as we welcome the improved turnaround time, there is still a lot of room for improvement, as you've alluded to. But I think so the first key thing is really to understand this directive. What does it say in terms of response times, turnaround times, and measures so that we understand, apart from the diplomatic bag, are we improving? Because I'll give you an example. I received a call for help late last year that an applicant was given an appointment at the High Commission Consular Office in Wellington, in New Zealand, in 11 months' time. So this was after COVID had been completed. So that's 11 months before you can lodge an application. And that's a more extreme example, but you know, we've got multiple cases where it's 6 months, et cetera, where we have to come and intervene and say, no, come on, this cannot be right. So I want to understand why this is taking place. Has that been resolved? Because before COVID, one could walk in and get an appointment, and now there's this requirement to log an appointment beforehand, but it seems like it's taking months to do that. And then once this booking email is received, it advises applicants that it will take approximately 6 to 12 months to be finalized. So with the diplomatic bag measures you're putting in place, I would imagine that you would be able to ship a passport within 3 months. If you talk about 1 month maximum to get the application to South Africa, 1 month to process it. You're processing these in 2 weeks, 2 to 4 weeks here, and then 1 month to get it back at the most. So is your turnaround time still 6 to 12 months, and why? Why would that be the case? Then the shipping of the diplomatic bag is one thing, but the handover between Derco and Home Affairs also seemed to create a big problem, because when we try to follow up on numerous cases, we find that Home Affairs is saying, well, we've delivered it, we sent it off to Derco, but you seem to be unable to trace exactly where it is. Is it in the Derco offices in Pretoria? Has it been shipped? When will it get there? There seems to be this gap there. If you can just advise us, has this been resolved, or what is going to be done to resolve that gap between Home Affairs and Derco? And then when we talk about the need to now apply in person, there are some extreme distances, for example, in the USA, where persons need to travel to embassies to apply. But when I went to Australia, and then you had to get a visa, you applied online, and then you went to a local competitor of VFS, and you did your biometrics. So especially for persons that are renewing their passports, etc., why is it not possible to utilize the services of a VFS or one of their competitors to do the biometric part of things? And then allow persons to do the majority, especially of a renewal, online, and then go to their local office, because it's supposed to be the whole point of having a VFS or the like, is that they have the international footprint and that they are able to provide offices that are closer to applicants than a foreign mission might be. So that is it from my side, Chairperson. But once again, a big thank you, DG, and a thank you to the Minister for taking these concerns seriously.
Okay, thanks, Honourable Ross, and thanks, Ms. Packard. Your response, DG, seemed to be more sufficient to the issues. I would invite members to comment on the petition one, Honourable Lizelle, Honourable Kanyile, Honourable Molekwa, Honourable Tejana, Honourable Chile, Honorable Fase, Honorable Tito, Honorable Bongo, and Honorable Mutis. I think Honorable Mare is on also on the other petition. We will and welcome Honorable Mare. In that order.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the Minister, our DG, and all our colleagues on the platform. No, I was expecting for us to comment at the end on all the presentations, but nevertheless, we thank the Honourable Ruiz and the petitioner for raising these issues. I think the struggles with regards to accessing or renewing passports abroad is something that has been brought to our attention on numerous occasions. In my own case, for example, I had a family member who could not renew their passport in the UK and had eventually to travel back to South Africa in order to do that. So, but as you had alerted, I think we thank the Minister and the DG for taking these issues seriously and for putting together an action plan. And I think for us as a committee, it will simply be for us to monitor to see if there is improvement in the next 3 months or so, and just to continue to do oversight over the matter. But thank you to the colleagues for raising it and for the responses we got from the Minister. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Lizelle. Honourable Kanyile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you. Good morning to the Minister, the representative from the Department, and the colleagues online. Chairperson, we welcome the presentation that we have received from the Department of Home Affairs, and I also wish to indicate that I have been largely covered by Honourable Ross and Honourable Van der Merwe. I think I only have a few questions on this matter, and also noting that Ms. Apakaj has acknowledged that there are people that are confirming that they are now receiving their passport back within 90 days after the application. The question that I have is that does the department have a system that they use to track the applications from when they have been put into the diplomatic bag all the way to DEPCO and to Home Affairs? And secondly, I'd like to know if they're also able to, do they have a timeline of how long does it take for the Home Affairs to hand over the passport back to DECO and for DECO to put it into the diplomatic bag for it to be couriered to the country where it was received. And when the minister was introducing this petition, I had a problem with my network, but I had him here and there mentioning that there is a project that is piloted, I think, in London to try and address this issue. What I would like to know is when was this project, if I had him correctly, piloted in London, and maybe if you can also finish us with the status thereof. For now, Chairperson, I think I'm covered. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Kanyile. Honourable Molekwa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me also appreciate the presentation as presented, and I'll also acknowledge the progress made by the department in responding to the challenges. Though there are still challenges, especially of load shedding and downtime, as presented by the department. We hope that the department will be able to develop a plan that will be also able to deal with the challenges. Chairperson, I also have a proposal. I don't know whether the proposal will be able to carry the order. That maybe, is it not advisable for the portfolio committee also to convene a meeting with the stakeholders forum and engage with them to be able to engage with them regarding the challenges, and maybe together with the stakeholders forum we'll be able to make a way forward on this solution that may be presented in that meeting. I think engaging on one-on-one with those stakeholders will be able to have also the portfolio committee to understand the challenges are encountered by the stakeholders forum. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Tejana.
Oh, thanks, Chairperson. And good morning to yourselves and the leadership. No, I think it's worth appreciating what we have received as a response, and we appreciate what was raised from the petition. We only hope, Chair, that it is not only speaking to Europe, it also speaks to the Asians, it also speaks to the African continent in terms of how these issues and the responses that we have received from the department, in terms of how they treat the whole situation. We hope that if you are in Nigeria or you are in Congo, and these applications and the response that we have received from the department in terms of the turnaround time of passports and all of that is treated the same as those that are in London, in France, Paris, and all of that. So we appreciate what indeed has been raised as a petition from the people of the zone. So I wanted to raise that, but I don't have an issue at this point. I just wanted to raise that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Tejana, for your contributions. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, thank you. I think it's important to note the responses and all of the achievements that the department has made. I think one must applaud the responses in the sense that it was not just responding, but having found amicable solutions to some of the challenges that they may face. So, Chair, I think for me, it's sufficient in respect of what the petitioner has raised, but particularly to say that it's not just as a result of this, but it's also long-term, that we have a mandate as DHA to provide services to our citizens, and that's exactly what they are doing. And yes, there may be hurdles many a times, but it's important to note that the department is continuing to find other mechanisms and other ways in order to address them. So I think we must applaud the department for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Lee, for your contribution. Honorable Lafate.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to all the colleagues on the platform. Chair, mine is just to say to the department that continue doing the good work. And where I'm sitting, I am satisfied that even the petitioner find the response by the department sufficient, and she can even attest that some of the applicants received their passports in 3 months. It simply means that the department is only talking but doing what they are forever preaching, and they are improving on the services which they give to the citizens. Thank you very much, Chair, and applauding the giving credit where it is due is very important. Keep up the good work, and I hope they'll be able to resolve any other issues that they might come across or that might be submitted to the good selves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fase, for your contributions. Honorable Gita. Honorable Bongan.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. I would like to appreciate the report like all other colleagues. And I want to quote and refer you to a certain Dumile Mlambo, who said, who posted on Facebook, and he said the following: I find it quite commendable how Dr. Aaron Motsoaledi quickly grasped the affairs of his new portfolio. For someone who is a medical doctor by profession and who has led health department, and this is a massive shift, he is doing very well. This is what was posted on Facebook. So I think the comments by the petitioner and the comments by Honorable Rose and the comments of all the members attest to what Dumile Mlambo posted on the social media. And I think the same can be said to the DG of the department and the deputy minister and the entire Home Affairs team. I need to say this, that from where we started with the department and now, I think the work that this department in terms of changing and turning things around, it is quite commendable. And the work that the DG has said they are doing with DECO, I think it's quite a good job, because DECO is a key stakeholder, and as Home Affairs, we can use them as a force multiplier in terms of ensuring that we cover all the issues that even what Honorable Dejane says, that we need to look at Asia, the same must apply. I think the DECO relationship will yield all those results. We know that yes, because of a lot of backlogs, there are some of the challenges, but I'm happy that the petitioner is happy, and I'm happy that Honorable Ross is happy, and is also saying that the department, the DG and the minister are doing quite a commendable work. And we appreciate that also from the ruling party, the chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable.
Please.
The Jana, who's chairing the meeting?
Honorable Tejana, I don't know how to treat you now going forward.
No. Honorable Tejana,
Honorable Tejana is out of order now, barely.
Honorable Bongani and Honorable Tejana, can we... accord your respects as a committee. Thank you. Honorable Magistrate, sir. Okay. Noted. Thanks to the members for your comments and contributions. Minister, can I get your comment on the issues raised? And then we'll move to a second item. I think all the responses that we carried are sufficient. What the committee and ourselves, we may need to, and yourselves as a collective department, is to monitor the issues that you have planned and those that are outstanding, so that all of us were at par in terms of service delivered, but also ground broadly on the various areas that need to be attended. We do appreciate the response that the petitioner has raised. Minister, can I get your comments? Then we move to a second petition. Thank you, Minister.
Yeah. No, Chairperson, thank you to honorable members. Of course, we will keep trying as we're making the changes. But I thought Chair, Honorable Kanile said she was kicked out when the DG was outlining the project piloted in London, which is now being rolled out to other major cities. I thought she asked exactly about the project, but I thought the DG has outlined it, unless maybe we promise her that the DG will phone her after this meeting to tell her, because I think all the other members have heard about it and how it is run. Otherwise, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. We'll now move to the second item. Mr. Matonzi, can we invite the petitioner to comment on the response? It's Honorable Marene.
The person is Honorable Schreiber, I think, is next.
Yes. Is the... Mr. Matonzi, can I draw your attention?
Yes, Chair.
Our petitioner is Honorable
Leon Schreiber. Leon, Dr. Leon Schreiber.
Dr. Leon, yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Leon. You can proceed on the comments on the issues that you raised, and thanks for raising the issues, and welcome to the meeting. You can proceed.
Thank you very much, Chair and colleagues. It's a pleasure to be here with you today at the Home Affairs Committee. Thank you very much for taking on this particular issue. just by way of background, Chair, the petition really comes out of a number of complaints and really, in my experience, a consistent pattern of people feeling that the Stellenbosch Home Affairs branch is undercapacitated, and that this is leading to inordinately long queues and delays in processing of issues. In fact, just this morning I received an email from someone who has been dealing with someone who has passed away and not able to actually obtain the death certificate for over 2 years now. So those are the kind of issues that inform this petition. However, prior to the petition being submitted to this committee, I did ask a question, a parliamentary question, to the Honourable Minister, and I greet the Minister as well. Good morning to you, sir, where I raised this issue and tried to get a sense of what the department's plan was moving forward. The one thing I did not see directly addressed in the petition, although there was reference to staffing, is the fact that in his response, the minister, this was in February of last year, indicated that the number of officials actually required at the Stellenbosch branch is 41 staff members, but that at that time there were only 6 officials in the office. This was 25 February 2022, and at that stage the minister also indicated that a recruitment process will be initiated by the department in the month of March 2022. Now, Chair, when I look at the response, if I'm understanding it correctly, it looks like we are now talking about 8 staff members in the Stellenbosch office. So I think my first question would be some more information on the staffing aspect specifically. In other words, if the service standards require 44 staff members, we are now sitting with 8. 41 staff members. We are now sitting with 8, up from 6. Is there a plan for further recruitment and enhancement of the staffing component at the office? So that is really the first thing I'd like a bit of additional clarity on. I also understood then, as a second follow-up, Chair, that there was a reference to mobile offices by the Minister. I think he was making a general comment, but I'd like to get an indication whether this means that there will be a mobile office, or that there is one that's just perhaps not always available at the Stellenbosch Home Affairs office, and whether that is something that will be a continuous service now to help relieve the pressure. And then finally, Chair, I am grateful to hear about the progress regarding the secondary branch at the Absa Bank in town, which will, I think, be very helpful. I see that that commencement date is the 26th of June. I just want to check in terms, again, of the staffing component, which seems to be a very big part of the problem. How many officials will be actually stationed at that Absa branch? Will they be there full-time? And I understand that it will render services like passport and smart ID, but I just want to check what is the capacity that the department foresees at that branch. Because if, you know, the next time I receive a complaint, I am likely to then suggest that someone also goes to the new Absa branch once it's opened, but I do want to get a sense of the capacity. So, Chair, those are really the three follow-up questions. Staffing at the main office, is there a plan to still increase that from 8 to the 41 required? The mobile office, is that something that is available and will be available in Stellenbosch? And what is the capacity in terms of staffing specifically at the new APSA branch that is envisioned? Thanks very much again to members of this committee for their assistance.
Mr. Blay? Mr. Blay?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, the chairperson has been kicked out of the system, and then he would like you to continue with the meeting while he's rejoining.
Okay, all right, no problem. Thank you for can we move to Honorable Gross, and then we can do Honorable Lizal, Honorable Molekwa, Honorable Kanile, Honorable Dejane, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Tito, and Honorable Modise. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There's really just one additional question from my side, because you've had a number of inquiries over the years. It seems like Stellenbosch got the equipment for the Home Affairs office in Absa about 3 years ago. I'd like to understand why did it take 3 years to put a staff member there in Stellenbosch? I think it would have made a big difference to the Stellenbosch branch itself to take a bit of load off of it. So that's my only real concern there, is why did it take 3 years to now staff that and open it since the equipment was delivered? But otherwise, yes, welcome the inputs and the responses from Home Affairs. Thank you.
Honourable Lizal. Thank you, Honourable Rust.
Thank you very much, Acting Chairperson. I want to thank Dr. Schreiber for raising this issue with us. I think, in fact, some of the challenges that he's highlighted, whether it's the issue of long queues or systems being offline or even capacity in general at offices, is something that, it is a problem within Home Affairs in general, in that whether it's at the Balboa office or the Barrack Street office or some of your offices in KwaZulu-Natal. But I think, for me, the biggest issue is, DG, and I've raised it before, Honourable Minister, as well, you know, we would really alleviate the pressure on offices that are struggling by expanding our footprint to banks. And yes, we've just mentioned now that Stellenbosch will be working with APSA. But I just thought I would ask a question in general in terms of, you know, why does it seem that we are not moving in terms of expanding our footprint with banks across the country, because it's only a handful of banks that are providing those services. And then with regards to, I don't know if, I want to ask also, Minister, on the issue of your mobile trucks, of course we welcome that there will be more of those trucks being rolled out, and hopefully Stellenbosch will also benefit from one. But I think at some point as a committee as well, acting chairperson, we need to be able to get these schedules, this access model, the schedule of mobile trucks. We've asked about it before, but I mean, at the end of the day, every day we are confronted with citizens who phone us and tell us they're unable to get the service that they need from an office, whether it's the Stellenbosch office or an office in Zululand or wherever, and we need to be able to have access to those mobile truck schedules so that we can at least point people to where those trucks will be in the various provinces. And that would really be my appeal. Thank you, Acting Chair.
Thank you. The chair's back. Chairperson, if you take over, it's Honorable Molekwa that's next. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Pile. Honorable Molekwa. Thank you. Honorable Kanyile.
Thank you, Chairperson. We welcome the petition together with the responses from the department. I only have, I think, about two follow-up questions. On the 18th of May 2022, we conducted an oversight in this particular office. And likely when we were there, I believe the DG and some officials from the department as well were there. And we also discussed the issue of the shortage of officials. In the meeting that we had on the same day, he indicated that from the budget allocated by the National Treasury, there were some positions that were going to be advertised for this particular office. What I would like to find out is whether this process has started and how far it is at this particular point in time. And secondly, during the responses, they have indicated that when there is a load shedding, their generator is switched on and off due to rebooting. I'd like to understand why is this generator being switched on and off? What is the condition of this generator? And if there's something wrong with it, is there something that is being done to address this issue of rebooting? Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kanyele. Honorable Dejana?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Once more, well, I've got quite a few issues that I want to talk to in respect to this item. We once stay in our contributions in the committee, Chair, we said it is very important for the department to offer services. If you offer a service in Stellenbosch, offer the service elsewhere to avoid questions. Because the reason why we have this petition is because in another office in Mendi, the situation is different. Irrespective of how we have arrived to that, but the situation is different. Hence, the people of the Stellenbosch came to us and said, through the doctor who came in, are raising the issues that they are raising. It is important for government, for any government, when they render services equally and same service to their people, especially in respect to home affairs. So I want to make a plea to Dr. Mutsoridi that to avoid unnecessary conversations like this one, let's have services. If you want to put a light in Musina, put a light in Islanda at the same time, so that whatever happens, whatever questions that might come, the questions, at least we are able to address, because the petition that has came from Stellenbosch is going to come from elsewhere, because there are similarities. But we are dealing with one national department. We are not dealing with multiple departments. We are not dealing with multiple functions. We are dealing with a function that is rendered by one department. When we offer a service, whichever service that we're offering a former friend, can we then offer it and put light on it at the same time so that we avoid unnecessary conversation that we should have been avoided? I looked at the pictures that were shown by Mr. Mabuse here, and we have said all the time, what triggers us as members of this committee is long queues. So what I'm saying now is going to be linked with what I said earlier. So if you look at the picture, you can see that only 20 people then can be accommodated in that office in Stellenbosch. So if you have a queue outside in the morning, it means that there's 20 people that you can take at a time. So if we as members of parliament pass Stellenbosch office on a winter or on a raining day, we are going to be triggered by us looking at our people standing outside because of the space that is smaller inside. We need to improve. There has to be some improvement in terms of how we deal with this, especially the long queues. I mean, I looked at that picture, and it tells you that at least not more than 20 people can accommodate that office space. That is why the people of Stellenbosch are coming to say, but why are we offering certain services and we're not offering others? So we need to find a way of dealing with the... Our office must be the... I said, when we went to an oversight visit in a Manly, I said, this is an ideal office of Home Affairs. It is, I'm still confirming that, it is an ideal office because its space is fine, and then it just needs a few things for it to operate optimally. So that is what should happen, even in Stellenbosch, even in Khayelitsha, and all where we have offices of Home Affairs. The minister must just try to push harder, not wait for Bob Bongo to come and raise him here for things that are not necessary. So, we have two mobile, the report says that we've got mobile trucks that are operating, which is a very critical role that those mobiles are working. But Western Cape, as compared to any other province, I don't think the allocation is proportional. And I don't think the allocation is in terms of performance of offices. I think the department will have to look into that. So you can't have, for instance, two mobile trucks in the Western Cape and have one. It's an example, one in KZN, Durban, which is supposed to service the entire province or the entire region of eThekwini, depending on the population size and the demand. Understanding, of course, Uti, your offices, you know your offices, you make analysis of performance of your offices. You look at them all the time. So when you deploy your mobile drugs with limited resources, look at how the performance is. Don't just deploy mobile trucks just because you want to come to us and report that you have deployed mobile trucks. It is true what Honorable from the ISP said earlier, that we need, if you are able to give a schedule of mobile trucks to mayors and speakers, you then need to give us the national allocation of that. It must come to the committee. We must be given that schedule that in Limpopo, this is how many Wagon has and all of that. The minister earlier on alluded when he was speaking, he says to us that we have made additional hundreds, on top of the 120, if I'm not mistaken, trucks we have, mobile trucks we have. We have appointed a service provider in Nelson Mandela municipality, ISUS, to produce 100, if I'm not mistaken, of those mobile trucks. And he further says that we do not have, we don't know when are we going to get that. We're not running, Dr. Mutoriti, we're not running a tribal authority. I can assure you, when you were running your practice as a doctor before, your activities, or you would not send whatever order without knowing when you are going to get medication. But why do you do that with the department, with the funds of our people? There's a question that would be asked. Your response is, no, we don't know when are we going to get the other drugs. But you have paid for it with the taxpayer's money. But you don't say to us, no, the extra drugs that we are going to get are going to come on this date. We are looking for that. We don't want you to do a find-a-finder here. Unless you don't care about what you are doing. We want you to be able to say to us, we gave Isuzu a contract to produce 100 trucks and they are going to deliver them on this date. So you are the last point of contact. So when you are the last point of contact, when the last point of contact doesn't know, you can't expect the rest of these people not to know. It is wrong. I think we need you, as much as we appreciate the work, we do not ignore the work that we have seen that you are doing in your department. We do not ignore that. But when you come to us and say, I don't know when are we going to have delivery of this drug, we then reverse everything and say, but what is this? We are running a department here. Professionalization of the department is very important. Not only when it comes to certain aspects, on everything that we are receiving from the department, because money of our people is being utilized. Resources of this country are being utilized for our people to get that safe. Don't give us an answer that says, or don't speak and say, we don't know when we are going to get there. As if you went to some guy there in a Skukun and said to him, I, when I go and produce this thing. No. You went to a professional company there, you have given them a time frame. We need to know how many of these drugs, yes, we agree, when are we going to get them so that we're able to not have unnecessary questions to you. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Techana, for your contributions. Honorable Lupasa. Honorable Tito.
Thank you, Chair. I'm struggling with the connectivity, but I hope you hear me. Like I said, Chair, that I don't know, I'm not sure how to treat Honorable Tejane going forward from today. You see. But we appreciate the report. You know, of importance, we know they are facing a lot of challenges. Not only in home affairs, not only in departments in government, but there are challenges all over when you talk about issues of home affairs, even if you go to United States or UK. It will always be challenges. What is important for us to know is that for every challenge that is brought to leadership of this department, there is a remedial action. I think that is quite very good. We know the Stellen Bosch petition, and I'm happy that it is brought to the attention of the department, and the department will swiftly deal with this problem. And we appreciate all other petitions, because
every time you bring any complaint to the department, it's dealt with. And that's what we comment. And what I'm requesting is that, you know, as members of parliament, let us try to up the game and be at a strategic level. We must not be sent to be operational, you know, as if we want to run or to co-run the department with the minister. Let us be strategic in our issues so that we're able to provide policy guidelines to the department. But we know this and we're happy it is in front of the department, and the department must act swiftly in trying to deal with all these challenges. And I agree with the Chairman that we need to standardize the service to our people. But we also know that when we're in Menlyn, it's not the same as when we're in Siyabuswa. And those differences will always pose the challenges. But we appreciate that the department is dealing with this challenge of Stellenbosch, and it will deal with all other challenges that that will be brought to the table of the department. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Bongo. Honorable Pile.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I think it's important for us to note that some of the challenges that we've heard through the petition is challenges that we may have experienced at different offices at different times. However, Chair, the one concern I have is that the Honourable Speaker, when he started, mentioned something about a death certificate that has not been done in 2 years. I think it's important that he send those details to the committee or to yourselves by the end of this meeting, so that we can be able to address that issue. I think, you know, for me, a death certificate 2 years is almost impossible, but there may be, you know, various reasons, and I think it's important to finalize that matter. But Chairperson, I think also what is important to note is that we cannot allow our committee to digress and to just take a different decorum. I think we've maintained the decorum of this committee at all times. And we must understand that while there may be gains, there will be challenges. And so we must address it in the appropriate manner. And I think for us to come here and then start mudslinging is not appropriate, Chair. And you must call members to order when they try to digress our meetings. Chair, I think that the questions raised, we would get a response from the department in respect of staff components. But the plus for me is that this is a smart office. And the challenge is that there are offices where we have not moved to smart offices yet. I think all we need to do is put in more effort to be able to improve on that in that office, so that the footprint that we have is able to cover the population of that community. So I'm just hoping that the department will be able to then give us that clear direction in terms of the program they have. Thank you.
Thank you. I've noted that Honorable Lukwase, Honorable Tito, and Honorable Mudisem may have challenges with the network. If they are back, can they indicate so that they comment if they want to comment on the issues? Okay. Let me then...
Honorable Rajo is in another committee of transport.
Okay. Noted. I checked the records earlier on. I think she might have left when we're in the meeting. Thank you very much. DG, we'll start to invite you to comment and invite Deputy Minister and the Minister to comment on the issues that, or the response the petitioner has commented on, and also members' contributions, and then we move to the last response of the petition. DG?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks to Honorable Schreiber for the questions and the other honorable members.
DT Mabuso will deal with the staff capacitation, which he did in the presentation. But just to note, Chair, that we came to this portfolio committee right at the beginning when we had indicated just during the COVID-19 period that we do not have adequate staff. And amongst others, this committee recommended that we put together a business case to National Treasury, which we did and came back and reported. And we then received 266 million for the previous financial year, which we've utilized to fill crucial vacancies. Amongst them will be the office in Stellenbosch. And of course, the reason why we are now able to extend capacity to the Absa branch in Stellenbosch, it's due to the additional capacity that we have received. And Mr. Mabuso will then share with you details in terms of how many we'll be sending through there. Honorable Lizelle, with regards to the expansion to the banks, that remains our intention. We signed an extension of the Memorandum of Understanding with all the banks. And on the 16th of April, we met with all of them, and all of them signaled an intent to continue with the expansion. However, you will recall the minister has previously indicated to this committee that the banks will only roll out to the other or to their facilities if we resolve issues around system downtime, which we are already addressing. We indicated to the committee during, I think it was the last two appearances, that we now have an a memorandum of understanding with the CSIR. There are a number of offices that are being connected to the CSIR network, five of those. And once that works well, which we think it will work quite well, it will then migrate to the other areas. And we have also signaled to the banks that these are the plans, and the banks have given us the thumbs up, so that once that's done, then we can then roll out to the other banks. You would have noted that since this initiative was launched between 2015 and 2023, FNB in particular has been able to process more than or close to 500,000 passports and smart identity cards. So it's an initiative that's really working quite well, and they are keen to roll out this initiative to the other banks. So we are on course to implement that. I think, Honorable Chachana, the issue that you are raising and similar to Honorable Schreiber, it's really the purpose-built offices for Home Affairs, which we currently have just a few of them. And as the Minister has indicated, our intent is really to focus on the Home Affairs on Wheels, which is the mobile trucks. However, you would have noted the office that the Minister opened in Lusikisiki, which is really a modern office, and similarly, the new one in Epping, small, but it's able to improve efficiencies. So these are some of the things that we currently are working on. And similarly, in Stellenbosch, the pictures that Mr. Mabuso showed are from the one block, and we are currently in the process of revamping the other block. As you know, the building is owned by Public Works and Infrastructure. So we hope that once we have renovated the other side, we should be able to accommodate more people at that office. But of course, we do complement the office with mobile trucks when the number of people requiring services increases. So, Chairperson, if I can then invite DDG Mavuso just to respond to the issues around capacitation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, DDG Mavuso.
No, thanks, Chairperson. Yes, I think, Dr. Leon, the issues that have been raised in terms of the capacity for Stellenbosch, ideally, for an office that is situated in a town like that, you would definitely need more capacity. So the 41 that was mentioned, obviously, is an ideal staffing complement that we'll have to aspire to. Once, obviously, we are able to have the office that is quite big enough, because it might be difficult to bring many people in a cramped space that we are not able to give them adequate space for them to operate in. So that's the one issue. And then on the issue of the upside, the two officials at DG said we have been able to capacitate some offices. So we are now able to take staff from other offices to bring to this particular branch. So that's basically what we are going to be doing. The staff that is going to be coming to that office, we are taking them from other two offices within the Cape Winelands. So the issue of Honorable Ross to say that it took 3 years, it was a bit difficult, as I said, to get the capacity in those offices, because if we're just going to go grab in certain offices, we're going to leave a huge gap. Because the project, we never anticipated, as DG has indicated, when the partnership with the bank started, we never anticipated that we'll reach 2023, still utilizing our own staff, because the project conceptualization was that banks were saying to us, as their, their bank halls are shrinking because of digital banking, they don't have excess capacity that they can actually train for Home Affairs, or Home Affairs train those particular officials so that they can be able to execute the work on behalf of the department. That is why this project was started as a triple P, so that it can be able to allow those officials to perform services on behalf of the public service as part of the legal requirement. But because of some of the delays, which include the issue of the signing of the partnership agreement, because of the issues relating to CETA, we have not been able to finalize it. Hence, we find ourselves in this situation that we are not expanding, Honorable Lizelle, as fast as we want. Because at the time when the project was started, 2015, the projection was that the banks were going to give us up to 200 banking branches across the spectrum to be able to deal with it. And then the issue that Honorable Kanyile is raising on the systems and the issue of rebooting. So let me explain how this thing works. Ideally, offices must be, we have what we call a UPS, in other words, our systems, when it comes to critical systems like your servers, they should not be connected to a direct current, which is provided by a municipality, because if that goes down during load shedding, they switch off, and then you must then start the generator, and then that's when the system needs to reboot. So you need to be able to ensure that between the systems and the electricity, there's a battery in between. That is why the UPS, then it provides clean energy so that we don't do that. So that's the one issue. But the second issue is that, unfortunately, with the generator at night, when the staff knock off, the generator is switched off in order to save fuel. Because if we don't do that, what then happens is that at night when you are not there, the generator will then be running when load shedding hits. So it's always better to switch it off so that come the morning, we are able to switch it on and ensuring that you are able to save the public, which otherwise we will be having a huge fuel bill. Then Honorable Tatiana raised the issue. I think DG has attended to it, but I just want to share this slide. This slide shows the distribution of the mobiles currently, that the 110, that's how we're distributed. So on top of this, we're adding the 20. On top of this, we'll be adding another 100. So ideally, a province like Western Cape, by the end of this financial year, we'll be having over 22 mobile trucks, because on the 100, they have been allocated 10. With the Eastern Cape, in the same way, they're going to be allocated 10. They'll be having about 24. So that footprint of the mobile trucks is going to be increasing as we move along. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Titi Chimavuso and the DG, the Deputy Minister.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and greetings to the members of the committee. Just a few comments from my side, Chair. The first one is that it is very important that the committee note that the work that we do is not driven by complaints on the basis that we receive complaints, but it is driven by our commitment to improve the level of service that we offer to our customers, which are citizens of South Africa. So our approach in terms of innovation, bringing new ideas, coming up with new systems that improve the service, as we have seen the improvement now, is driven solely because we want to make sure that the citizens of this country get better services. And as such, that is why we strive. The other issue is that it is untrue that we do not want to offer similar services throughout the country. Our commitment and our resolve in terms of how we are offering services is such that we continue to build towards making sure that everybody gets a similar service. If you look at the purpose-built offices that we are building currently, most of them are based in rural areas. Building an office in Taung, which is a rural area, we are also working in Towendo, we are working in Stenga, in KZN. All those offices are meant to upgrade the level of service we are offering also to rural communities. So the service that you see elsewhere, the fact that we have not arrived in a certain area, does not mean that we do not have an intention of improving a service in that area. And I think our innovation continues really with the issue. When we came here to this committee and presented the issue of mobile units, we said that we wanted to offer services to the people by taking our services to the people, not by people coming to us. And that is why we have this program of mobile units, which are now going all over the areas to service our people. And even right now, we are investing in new technology like the new kiosk system, which will all take up the level of service that we are offering. The other issue that I think we need to deal with is that the issue of schedules of where each and every mobile unit will be on a specific day is really an operational issue, which is dealt with at a level of DMOs and even in lower levels, where we liaise with local leadership in various municipalities. And the model in which we offer the mobile units is a demand-driven model, where we go to where we are needed the most. So I would really, you know, like the committee to reconsider the issue of having an oversized committee like the portfolio committee, you know, venturing into operational issues, including where will this mobile be on a certain day. Yes, if the need arises and there are high-impact programs and members of the committee need the use of mobile units, such should be allocated just like we do with all members of society. But I think it's really too much of a detailed issue of this mobile unit would be here. Rather, we focus on saying this is the impact that the mobile units have had in terms of servicing clients. I think even when we were dealing with the budget vote, we're able to give in figures on the impact that has been made by mobile units, which really shows that they are yielding very good results for us. I would like to stop there, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. Minister?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I've largely been covered by the input from the Deputy Minister. But there are just a few things I want to highlight. Firstly, Chairperson, I would really like Dr. Schreiber to help us. This statement about 2 years not getting a certificate is something that is absolutely out of this world. I've never heard about it, and I would like that situation. If there is a document which we issue all the time, under all conditions, it is a certificate. Because you'll imagine, Chairperson, what will happen if somebody cannot be buried because their family is waiting for a certificate from Home Affairs. You'll also be aware that some religions, you bury within hours of death, not days, but a few hours, and we have been able to issue death certificate even within those few hours. Even during the system downtime, we still issue a death certificate because we can issue it manually just for the family to continue with the activities, because some of them need money from insurance companies or from funeral schemes, which will never issue that money if there's no death certificate. So it is one document which we believe is extremely easy to get from Home Affairs. because we can even issue a handwritten one, and then after the funeral you come and collect the what you call the digitized document. So I would like us to be given details about this issue of 2 years, because I can't imagine how on earth something like that could ever happen. The second issue I want to comment about, which of course Dr. Schreiber spoke a lot about, is the issue of staffing, which we also came to present to this committee, that we have got huge problems of staffing. We actually revealed at the time when the questions he's talking about, which he said I responded to in Parliament, we at that time, our staffing level was 39% in Home Affairs, and we lost further 40 people because of COVID. Now, we developed a plan to Treasury in responding to this very dire situation, because it's quite dire. And Treasury gave us 266 million rand, which we reported to this committee. But that amount of money only takes our staffing level to 42, including increasing staffing in the Stellenbosch office. You can imagine if you have got more than 400 offices, and the 266 will only give you 700 workers, and they are not only going to front offices, they must also go to immigration. You can imagine what that is, but it takes us only to 42%. So serious did the matter become that we even took it to the presidency to ask that they must insist that Treasury takes us at least to 60% staffing. And that is the issue that is still under discussion with Treasury. We don't want to throw Treasury under the bus. Everybody knows the economic situation under the country. And we're very grateful when at least they agreed to take us to 42%, even though I am saying it's grossly inadequate. At least by 60% will be functional. Will be functional. It won't be 100% definitely. At least not now, until the economy of the country improves. But we do have such problems, and we did report them to this committee. That's basically what we are dealing with. The other issue, Chairperson, is the questions from Honourable Tejan. Honourable Tejan, I did mention that we are expecting 100 trucks to be delivered this financial year. I did mention that. I was not aware that the committee will want granular details about the manufacturing schedule of Isuzu. I did not imagine that. So I thought it suffice to say, in this financial year, we'll receive 100 mobile trucks. The other issues, Honourable Tejani, I'll really ignore them, because I don't think they are relevant to the point under discussion, including my former medical practice, how it was run. So I'll pass that, but we are going to receive 100 trucks this financial year. Honourable Pile mentioned the issue of legacy offices and the modernized offices. Honourable members, I wish to inform you that this issue of which office get modernized, which one is legacy, it's not dependent only on what Home Affairs do. It's a product of the development of the country, because it depends on many factors, most of which revolves around connectivity, which part of the country is connected and at what level in order to help us. We did report to this committee, and in my last year's budget speech, I also reflected on it, that the Department of Communication and New Technologies did announce that they are going to put up a program called SA Connect, South Africa Connect, where they are connecting schools, hospitals, clinics, police station, and Home Affairs offices, such that there is the broadband is big everywhere and data can move. And I reported to the committee also, if I may remind you, that I did ask the minister to start with Home Affairs. Because I said, if you start with all the other facilities like schools or police stations, etc., they will never be able to function without Home Affairs. Because all these institutions functions only when Home Affairs is functioning. Because they need details of identities of people. When you go to a school or a hospital or a clinic or a police station, your identity is wanted, which is issued by Home Affairs. So I did ask for that, and we're still waiting for that. It is one of the main reasons why we said let's rely on mobile units, because the mobile unit comes as a complete modernized office rather than a static office where it depends on the connectivity of that particular area or whether that department has already reached that area in terms of connectivity. So I just want members to know that some of the factors are outside the purview of the Department of Home Affairs, but we believe the mobiles will really help us a lot. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks very much, Minister, and thanks very much, members, for contributions. We'll take the same approach on the issues that have been raised, comments members have raised. We'll monitor that, and the petitioner also acknowledge the issue that we raised. Minister, Dr. Leon will forward the details around the death certificate to Mr. Matonsi, and will immediately forward to your attention so that you attend as you have requested. I'm going to invite Honorable Marais on the last petition that was responded by the department. Thank you, Honorable Marais.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Can you hear me?
Thanks for coming.
Great. Thanks so much for having me, and I really appreciate the presentation and the feedback from the department and the thorough way in which they have addressed the concerns that were raised. I've just got a few comments that I'd like to add. There's been a lot of discussion in this meeting about the mobile units. I just want to say that currently, according to the report we got this morning, there are two units allocated to the Sara Botman District Municipality as well as the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. Now, the Sara Botman District Municipality houses seven municipalities, of which one Dr. Bayers Nodir is. Dr. Bayers Nodir is half the size of the entire Sara Botman District Municipality, so it's the same size as six of the other municipalities. It's 29,000 square kilometers with eight towns. And unfortunately with that, it's very, very difficult to have only two units that are working in that area. So I do hope that one of the 100 that are being constructed for this year will be prioritized for our area. That brings me to my next point, because the issue we have is that at least 51% of the residents of Dr. Bayers Nodir Municipality are indigent. That means that they battle to travel and they can't get to Graaffreinet. So if the mobile units are not going out to them, many of them just fall through the cracks in terms of Home Affairs services. And we are seeing that now with preparing for registration for the upcoming elections. We're finding that numerous people have issues with not having the correct IDs. This is also contributed to by the fact that it costs about 500 rand for people from the outlying towns to travel to Graaffreinet and back in order to get their IDs. So if you're indigent and you have no money, it's almost impossible for you to then go out and collect your IDs. So it's very important that that regular services are being provided, and I'm seeing that some of those services haven't been supplied since February this year, so we do need them to happen more regularly. In addition, what is happening is that downtime is creating a huge problem. So there'll be several hours of load shedding, and then there'll be several hours of downtime. Now, we have people who hitchhike to the towns. They get there, and they can't be assisted. They can't wait until after hours to be assisted when the staff stay on, because they've got to get back to wherever it is that they live. So the downtime is contributing a huge amount to the failure of Home Affairs to deliver on its mandate. I'd also like to say that with respect to the mobiles, when they do go out, because we are in a rural area, signal becomes an issue, and that then means that the mobiles go out and then still can't provide services because they don't have signal to download the necessary documents and information. In terms of the report that was provided, there are indications that the car has only been used in New Bethesda. But I'm wondering if the vehicle has been used on other visits, and because of its limited assistance, whether or not those details that are provided on slides 25 to 32 accurately reflect that a mobile unit has gone out as opposed to the vehicle, where the mobile unit provides far more comprehensive services than the vehicle does. So I would be interested to know how many of those visits that are on those slides have been done by a mobile, a fully-fledged, fully-resourced mobile unit versus the motor vehicle. And then finally, the cash versus cards, it's not a hybrid system. People are told that cash cannot be accepted at that office. And in fact, I was there personally one day when somebody had hitchhiked through from Aberdeen for the third time to try and collect their ID. An elderly man who is absolutely indigent, and he doesn't have a bank account. And he happened to ask me if I could please pay for his ID on my card so that he could get it that day. And I had to wait at that Home Affairs office for close to 2 hours until he'd been properly assisted so that I could pay for his ID on my credit card, because the man was not allowed to pay in cash. It is a big problem, particularly in the outer areas. Not everybody in our communities have got bank accounts. Places like Kliplaat, Rietbron, New Bethesda, Waterford don't have banks. So the residents there just don't have access to bank accounts. So we have to make sure that cash is still an option for them. And Home Affairs has got to try and address the concerns around security to make sure that this can happen. And then finally, there was reference made to passports being issued. Yes, passports are issued, but we had a case of a family who had made a holiday arrangement to go to Botswana, and their children's passports had expired. And in order for the new passports to be issued, the old passports had to be decommissioned, or whatever word it is that's used in Home Affairs. And because our system was offline so much, every time this family went into Home Affairs to try and get these passports decommissioned and the new passports issued, it was offline. They ended up having to cancel their entire holiday because they could not get those passports issued, and they had applied well in time for this to have happened. So there are big problems with the downtime that are contributing to our people in our area not getting sufficient assistance. And the same thing with making appointments. Most of the people in our area don't have the airtime to make appointments from outside. And then even if they do, for them to come in, a lot of them have to rely on lifts from people, or they hitchhike, or they have to find the money to pay a taxi. And then for them to only arrive there and be told that, there's load shedding or it's downtime, it just isn't working. So we really do need to try and find some way to ensure that the residents of the rural areas in the Eastern Cape, and obviously my municipality in particular, are getting the Home Affairs services that they need. I thank you very much for the opportunity and for allowing me to present to you today. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Honourable Mare, for your contributions to the response and also an indication of continuous work that Home Affairs is grounding off. There may be limitations around some of the areas you have identified. And I think the point of response probably linked with the item that we've just dealt with. Honorable Izel, Honorable Ross, Honorable Lekwa, Honorable Tetjana, Honorable Kanyile, and Honorable Bongo, and Honorable Pile. I'm inviting your comments on the petitioner's response and also on the comment of the department.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and again, thank you very much to the Honourable Mare for taking the time to bring these issues to our attention. I think I share all her concerns, and in particular, I think, it is very painful when one do see ourselves or hear stories of people who travel to Home Affairs offices using their last bit of money and are then not able to access the documents that they need. And what I always tell people is, it's not just a queue, it's not just not being able to access documents, but in most cases, these documents stand between life and death for many. Because in some instances, it is the plate of food that somebody will be putting on the table
when you know they're able to access a SASSA grant through their documentation, or it's a job opportunity. So solving the issues of downtime and queues, it's got a direct impact on the lives of the most ordinary South Africans. So we must always keep that in mind. But Chairperson, I really respectfully want to say something in response to what the Honourable Deputy Minister said when he said that we shouldn't get into operational matters with regard to the mobile trucks. And I fully agree with him that MPs should not be getting involved in operational matters of the department. But I've got a problem now, because when we go to our communities, and you know my constituency, I travel on a weekly basis. I travel to the rural areas of KwaZulu-Natal. That's where you will find me. And when people are saying to me that they cannot access Home Affairs services, whether they're in Mhlabuya Lingana or Nkandla or wherever, we who represent this committee and this department will say, don't worry, mobile trucks are in circulation and more mobile trucks are coming up. Our own mayors, the mayor of King Preswire district, have asked me just recently about mobile trucks. Now the minister says, no, we are not allowed to know where these mobile trucks are because they're on a need-to-know basis, which is fine, but then how do I, when I do my constituency work, then, you know, am I just, should I just say, well, wait for the trucks when you see them? It doesn't make any sense. So I think as much as we don't want to get involved in operational matters, you know, for example, there are 10 districts in KwaZulu-Natal. Surely the department should be able to say to us, with our 14 mobile trucks that are operational in KwaZulu-Natal, we aim to cover this district in December or this district in October. At least we need to be able to be finished with some type of information that we can give to our constituencies and some of our mayors. I just don't think it's fair to say, no, it's an operational issue, it's a need to know, you'll find the information when you find it along the way. I don't think that is helpful for us. But thanks again to the department and to the petitioner, Honourable Mare, for bringing the issues to us, and I hope that we can have a conversation about how we get more information with regard to the routes and the operations of the mobile trucks. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Lidell, for your contributions. Honourable Ross?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. So just on the issue of the mobile trucks, Chair, I think, you know, the committee took a resolution, the meeting of the 6th, to receive these, and there was never a complaint about that. So I'm not sure why there is suddenly a complaint about it, Chair, and I believe we should just receive that as was agreed at that meeting, and as per the resolution that this parliamentary committee took. Chairperson, just to add what has been said already, I think this issue of landlords owning critical infrastructure is a serious problem for Home Affairs that we see here. And there's numerous issues. Stories in Johannesburg of lifts not working for years and years because a landlord doesn't fix it. And things like generators, which is absolutely critical to uptime, to the ability for somebody that has to travel long distances, as in this case, to go to a Home Affairs office, only to find that they cannot access the service. I mean, it's absolutely unacceptable, and we need to find a way. We've already, as a committee, highlighted that we need to identify all the offices without generators. But to my mind, that if a landlord has a generator, then the Department of Home Affairs doesn't have it, because they don't seem to have control over it. If a landlord is able to do this and not maintain it, and there isn't a serious penalty in that regard. So, Chairperson, I think, you know, one of the general things to come out of this petition as well, and we welcome this petition, is that really we need to take critical services and critical infrastructure like that. If it is in the hands of a landlord, there needs to be a strict service level agreement to ensure that that infrastructure is up at all times. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Ross, for your contributions. Honourable Molekwa. Honourable Dejana.
Thank you, Chair. Well, we appreciate everything else that the department is doing and all that came with the petition. Chair, I think the deputy chairperson has got things different. maybe my English is wrong. I'm not I was not born speaking English. So we don't account to the Department of Home Affairs as members of this parliament. Whatever suggestion is making about us and the mobile trucks is flawed. We don't account to him. He accounts to us as this committee. That's why we're sitting here. Otherwise, they could have just been running there alone without this one. We demand that as this committee, Chair, that we get the schedule. So if you are able to give the schedule to speakers and men, why are you scared to give it to us? We are national leaders. We are in the national parliament. Give us the national schedule. What is difficult? You come here, the minister and say to us, we are overreaching. That's what we are saying, in essence. We wouldn't be speaking about this. This thing is the same as when we were speaking about long queues. It's the same. All we want here now is give us the schedule so that we're able to share with our people who are assisting the department. Not fighting with the department. Unless the view is that we're fighting with the department. So it should be our resolution that the schedule, we must receive it so that we're able to distribute it. Because if it has already been given to mayors of our municipalities and all of that, let it go there. Well, it's like you are scared to give it to us, Deputy Minister. Like there's something you're hiding. As if we are going to, there's nothing we come here and raise which we have not gone to our law structures to check its veracity and all of that. So, please, man, let's get that schedule. Because when we came to this committee, we were told that even us as members of this committee, we could request mobile trucks. But we have since realized that it's not possible because of the quantity that you have. So now it's a schedule that we're asking for so that we're able to account to our people. When we're asked questions, we're able to say, okay, the mobile truck in terms of the schedule, it is going to be in your community. All we are asking for from the department. We don't account to the department. The department accounts to us. The way you are putting it, you look like you think we're accounting. So please, man, let's deal with that so that we're able to move with the same spirit. The department is what it is because of our contributions and many other contributions that are there. So your improvement of the situation is not because you went and got the information. We come to this committee and say there are problems in East London office of long queues, and you go and deal with them because we have identified. That's how we are complementing each other, ourselves and Parliament. There's no fight, there's no war. It's just that we have to raise these issues because our people are asking us, what is your role as members of Parliament? If we are going to stand outside in the cold or in a sunny day and you are next to you, there's nothing we can do for us. So I wanted to speak in line with what Honorable Israel, if I'm not mistaken, was speaking about. Thank you very much, Shepherdson.
Well, thank you for your contributions, Honorable Kanyele.
Thank you, Chairperson. On this item, I have been largely covered by Honorable Graham Murray. However, I do have some comments to make. Chairperson, in your opening, I had a problem with my network connectivity. But here and there, I heard you also mentioning the issue of mobile units and mentioning the issue of network. But I could not follow your opening properly. What I want to say is that when we were in the Eastern Cape, we picked up that of the two mobile units that they do have, our oversight revealed that on some occasions where the department had an event with the municipality where the mobile unit was needed, on both occasions they could not even process one application because the mobile unit could not connect to the network. I think it's an issue that I have brought to the portfolio committee, and we have discussed it previously. And because of the same issues that we have raised, and as you do know, there are some other issues. I don't want to sound like a broken record. It was because of that that the department agreed that they're going to give us the mobile unit schedule. So we have that as a resolution, and we are expecting to get that mobile unit schedule for us to be able to share it with members of the community. And when we have time, I do believe that it's very important for us to conduct an oversight on these mobile units to ascertain that they are actually doing the job that is always presented before the portfolio committee. And this is not the only schedule that we are still waiting for, Chairperson. If you remember, we also requested to be finished with the list of offices that still issue green ID books. We have still not received that as well. And on the issue of the generator, I have noted that the department has given the landlord the deadline of the 15th of June 2023, which is in the next 2 days. And following that, they have indicated that they will then intervene. I would like to suggest that when we come back from the constituency period, we'll be giving details or an update on this generator in this particular office. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your contributions, Honorable Kanyile, Honorable Bongo.
I am not here yet, that's my problem.
Thank you, Chair.
Hey, Chairperson, can I just raise a point of order, Chair?
No. Let me attend to the matter of Honorable Dejana as we close. Proceed, Honorable Bongani.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks, Chair. I think we would like to appreciate the concern by the petitioner and and the passion that she has to assist our people and to also to enlighten the department about certain things that may be on the blind spot of the department. I think we will really appreciate that. I think it's good citizenry and it's also good that the department has sufficiently covered the complaint. And I think I want to reiterate what I said is that we must not, as members of parliament, we must desist from being operational. If we're going to be requesting mobile trucks, I think it's at the border of something that is at the border of operation. Because the next thing will be then saying this truck must go there, then will be now micromanaging the department. But what is sufficient is to make sure that if there's a complaint about trucks in a particular area, to alert the department that there is 1, 2, 3. The department must see to finish. But that a member of parliament is requesting a truck to go directly to a specific place when we're also told this are not sufficient, we're going to descend into the arena. We will not be able to play our strategic role as required by legislation. I think for ours to oversight mainly on strategic issues of the department. We know the Honorable Co-Chair that when you go to the rural, they want this and that, but we can't descend. And I think this committee also has a resolution. I think when I was still the chair, that members of the committee can't just wake up and just do oversight. We need to have a framework that all of us are agreeing to as a committee so that we don't operate haphazardly. So I think we need to read some of those resolutions because those are resolutions of the committee and we did brief the minister about that. So I think we as a committee have been doing well in that front. But now the issue of the mobile truck, I think we need to leave it to be an operational matter and the department must just be
applauded also for the fact that they will make an additional 100 to come. I think it will assist the communities, and I don't think we need a schedule of how those departments design. I don't think so. I think what suffices is that the department must procure, they must first procure the trucks and make sure that they equitably distribute the trucks so that our people get assisted. Where we are alerted, the department is not us. We will just alert the department. But to get the schedule, it is bothering being operational. So I think, Chair, we thank the petitioner and we request the department to, or those who are giving us the petition, to give us more petitions so that we can alert the department and the department can assist our people in a faster pace. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Bongo, for your contributions. Honourable Zen.
Yeah, Chairperson, I just wish to record something first and foremost. You see, you're now going to be calling Honourable Techana to order, but you also have to call Honourable Bongo to order because he firstly has done two things now. He's answering members of Parliament, and we've told you before, we want to be answered by the Minister. And secondly, he is misinterpreting what I'm saying. He says now, Honourable Fanamarva or Coche wants the mobile trucks to go to her rural areas. I never said that. What I said is we want to be informed about where the trucks are, when and where, so that we can assist the department by giving that information to our constituencies so that they can benefit from the service. Now, for example, last year I communicated with the person early last year, which means it's now a year and a half later. I communicated with the person who deploys trucks in KwaZulu-Natal. He indicated to me that that the schedule was worked out and that at that point, for example, they couldn't come to Zululand. It's a year and a half later. I never made an issue about it. So it's not that members of parliament are trying to direct mobile trucks to their areas. We're not saying it should go to X, Y, and Z. We are simply saying let's be furnished with the information so that we can work with the department in terms of publishing that information about where the trucks are operational. So I really think Honourable Bongo is out of order, and I think he mustn't misinterpret what members of Parliament are trying to say here. Please, Chair.
No, that's of Honourable Bongo and Honourable Tejana as we close the meeting. The two honourable members will attend to their matter. Thanks, Honourable Zen.
Honourable Zen. But Chair, we're not in high school here. Not scared of anything.
I'm not going to allow that conduct you're demonstrating.
We have always been disciplined.
I'm not going to allow that for
people. I'm not going to allow
your conduct. Honorable, proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, I think, look, firstly, let me appreciate the petitioner, but also all other persons who have presented petitions to us. I think it goes a long way for citizenship, but also in terms of assisting the department when one needs to be able to look at how you improve on services. I think that what is clear from all of the presentations is that there is services, but just needs to be improvement, and there are challenges that need to be addressed. And I think there's nothing wrong with having to raise challenges that needs to be addressed. But here, let me just start off by saying that the mobile units is an addition to the services that Home Affairs offers. It is not the primary mandate in terms of the work that Home Affairs does. DHA has offices to add to that, and the influx of citizens that need assistance, they introduced mobile units. What it then means is that it will be spread out across the country. Now, Chair, there are types. There is one where it will be planned, where you would either be in conjunction with municipalities and mayors or those kind of officials. And they may be events-based. So there might be an outreach, there might be an Mbizo, there might be a government program, MasterCard, etc., etc. And so you would have those unplanned and planned. And then you have the daily operational of where trucks may not be going to these planned ones that may be called upon to assist officers where there may be challenges. Now, I see no problem with that schedule of where it's already there, it exists, with the mayor, with the municipality, that you can share that information with members of this committee and members of parliament, so that we can then be able to have that information, but also if it belongs to our constituency, be able to assist that. But I think the fine line there is whether you oversubscribe. Let's say, for argument's sake, there's only 3 trucks coming on that day, and that community is now going to cater for X amount of people. And we all know that the trucks are not going to be able to do thousands. They may do hundreds. Now, if you oversubscribe by then publicizing this information all over, and you have an influx of people coming to that particular venue, you're going to find that people are going to be upset with Home Affairs that they were not able to provide the service because those trucks can't cater. So we must be very careful about where you have scheduled trucks and what the specified target for that particular event or particular outreach is. We must have that fine line. I'm saying again, I can't see a challenge with that, Chair, that perhaps we can be able to then share the information. But contrary to that, Chair, I think it's important to note that every member of this committee has utilized mobile units at some point or the other. So I applaud Honorable Dejana to make that request, because every one of us can confirm that we have used it. And yes, when you make requests of it, you are definitely going to get those trucks, and you're definitely going to be able to use and utilize it. But again, there has been challenges. I think for more than 3 meetings, we have been discussing that the downtime, the network problems coupled with load shedding is a challenge. And there was even some discussion about whether we shouldn't offer certain services after a certain stage of load shedding when it comes to the mobile units, because you don't want to frustrate communities. Now, some of these things are unforeseen, but we also applaud, and we want to, and I think we've mentioned it, that the department must look at methods, mechanisms of how we are able to deal with that, whether it's LTE, mobile data, the fact that there are generators, just be able to improve on the generators so we have less of those downtime. So if we can be able to then perhaps even just upgrade some of these units so that we can be able to address those challenges. But I think, Chair, holistically, we need to understand that the mobile units are there to provide an additional service, and that's what it is. And we just need to improve on it, and we need to ensure that it gets maximum usage out of that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mem, for your contributions, and also thanks, Honorable Mare. I would invite DDG Mavuso. DG, the DMS indicated that you will take off, and the minister, to comment on the issues that the
Okay, can I just, before maybe I got cut off, can I just through you, just clarify something, please.
Yeah, you can enter, then the DG Mavuso, DG, and the minister. Thank you, Deputy Minister.
No, thank you, Chair. I think that there's a bit of a misunderstanding around the issue of schedules. We do not have a problem with sharing schedules. In fact, they are public knowledge. It's not something that is secretly held somewhere. There is no problem with sharing schedules with members of parliament. The issue what I'm driving at is that let us allow the allocation of mobile units to continue to be done by DMOs in consultation with the local leadership. But in terms of sharing schedules, there are no issues there. We can always share schedules and say, this is where the mobiles are going to be, this is where they have been. All I'm saying is that let us give space to the responsible officials in consultation, because you will remember we have an MOU with the Department of Basic Education, which we need to service. And they meet with the various regions of the Department of Education to put up schedules and so on. So it's quite a number of stakeholders that are working with the local offices and district managers to populate the schedules. So let us give them that space to populate the schedules. Yes, if there is a need to know where the mobile trucks have been, we'll share that information with the committee. There is no problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. DDG Mavuso?
No, Chair, thank you very much. I think I'll just respond just to one issue that Honorable Marae raised. I think the issue of the cash payment in the offices, we will look into it, how best we don't inconvenience clients. As I've said, we do take the cash payment, but I think we need to, obviously, the CFO, find a better mechanism to manage that cash, because in certain instances, if you have the cash in transit services, you'd find that the cash, the amount that you pay for the cash to be collected from the office sometimes is higher than the amount that is collected in the office. So we will have to devise just a safe mechanism internally if we increase the cash intake. But other than that, all the other issues are noted. I think the minister will deal with that issue of that Honorable Marae raised about the kids and the family holidays. And thank you.
Thank you, DJ Mavuso. DJ?
No, thanks, Chair, and thanks to the Honorable Members. Just one issue, Chair. You will also note that in the various provinces, we do have, at a provincial level, stakeholder forums. In certain instances, they are led either by members of the provincial legislatures or district officials from various districts. So those are quite active, and we do share those schedules with the various stakeholder forums. And of course, we'll continue to do the same, to share, as DM has said, with the various stakeholders at various levels. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. Minister?
Yeah, Chairperson, I think I've just got two comments. Firstly, the question by Honorable Marae that there's something called decommissioning a passport confused me a little bit, because I don't know such a phenomenon. Either your passport has expired, you take a new one, or is stolen or lost, in which case you must go and get the police, an affidavit from the police, or is full. But there's nothing called decommissioning. If I'm not mistaken, I had something like a community, a family, which struggled to get their passport decommissioned so that they can take a new one. Can I just get clarity about what that is? Because in all honesty, I've never had anything of that sort. The question from the issue from Honorable Ruos about landlords, Chairperson, I fully agree with him. In fact, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, I actually mentioned it once in this committee as something that is an anomaly and frustrating, that you have got institutions like schools, clinics, and police stations which serve people in exactly the same way that Home Affairs serves people, but all their buildings are purpose-built. They build them for that. There's no school or clinic which is leased from a landlord. It's quite unusual, but Home Affairs is running with that model, and I said it's a very wrong model from the beginning by our government, which I want changed. It is for this reason that we moved on to build custom-built Home Affairs offices, some of which have already been opened officially, like the one we opened in the city. It was purpose-built. We gave a list to Infrastructure South Africa when Dr. Ramakgopa was still there before he became the Minister of Electricity. We forwarded to him about 15 offices which we think must be purpose-built to run away from this issue of landlord. We have also reported here the frustration we get about 5 offices, some of which the Deputy Minister mentioned here, in Kwadugusa, in Taung, in Mokopane, in Toyandu, which were itching for them to be finalized, but the service provider for public works has been delaying and delaying and delaying. So we are trying that, and it's one of the motivations why we said, let's increase mobile offices so that we don't get frustrated by this issue of landlords all the time. But it's a model that was wrong. We accede to that, and we think we must keep on changing it. It is also one of the reasons why we started rushing to malls, because in malls we are allowed, we are given a big space in which you are allowed to do our, you know, customization, to be customized to a home affairs, as if it has been built as a home affairs customized office from the beginning. I'm sure many of you visited the Menlyn Mall, you saw what we're talking about. So we do agree with him that the landlord method is a very wrong one. In some areas, the offices are even in wrong areas, you know, next to a tavern, next to a taxi rank, and all such places, which are not conducive for services. Otherwise, thank you very much, Chairperson. But I really want the clarity on this decommissioning of passports, because if it's happening in some part of the country, it's something that we would like to understand, because we know nothing about it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Minister. Honorable Mare is also indicating that it's not clarified on the detail. I will request that we follow up with Mr. Matonzi, so that we inform the Minister or the Director General on the issues that they are raising, because she draw attention to the challenges that some of the citizens had problems in acquiring their passport. So let's follow up on that matter, and we were able to deal with that as the committee. I must thank all the petitioners who have raised these issues with us, so that we hold the department or the minister and his team accountable to the issues that are raised. And I think all of us, we can attest that the progress in terms of our commitment to resolve some of the issues that are raised, where there are challenges, weaknesses, the department has able to demonstrate the intention to correct that. And I think we must applaud the petitioners. Parliament and the committee are guided by the legislation in order to oversight the work of the department. And it's through this comments from the public residents that were able to conduct oversight over the department. But I think we must thank you, the minister and the deputy minister and the DG, that since 2019 you have able to demonstrate accountability to the committee, interaction with the committee. And without undermining all the issues that members of the committee have raised for your attention, you recall that this matter of the mobile is as a result of the discussion with the committee and the recommendation of this follow committee. And we need to appreciate that fact that you have responded to the call of the committee to have a way of procuring mobiles so that you have an...
Are you Chairperson?
Chairperson?
Well, it seems like he was
kicked out, but we're going to have to wait for him because he was actually summarizing.
Yeah, he's been in the meeting. Maybe it's just the voice issue. Let me try to call him.
Mr. McKenzie, I think he was kicked out by the system. I saw him leaving the meeting.
Yeah, I'm trying to call him now, if he can connect quickly.
Members, can we go to that, please, with your indulgence?
Good morning, colleagues from the department. We received a letter from the speaker, the chairperson, indicating that that Parliament.
Adam, just hang on. Right, Eddie. I'm just concerned that we're going to be keeping members who were invited to this meeting to present, and this is an item that doesn't relate to them.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to just give him a few minutes and then we can be able to deal with this.
Chairperson? Okay. Yeah, acting chair, just to indicate that we actually do need the department on this one. We're providing an update, but they do have input on this, perhaps.
No, Adam, I'm not referring to the department. I'm referring to we have guests in our meeting today that we've invited specifically to present on the petition. And it would be improper for them to be waiting until the end where they could have already left if they wanted to. Now, I'm just saying that we need to first ask them if they are okay with waiting until after this presentation, because they were invited specifically for their petition. Can I please have an indication from our guests that have been invited to make presentations while we are waiting for the chairperson? If there's perhaps any other parting comments, and then we could just wrap that up and then allow for them to be excused if they want to. Okay, in the absence of any of those hands or comments,
let me take the opportunity on behalf of the chairperson to thank all of our petitioners for taking the time to be with us here this morning and to raise the concerns. We do assure you that the department will continue to monitor through the minister and the respective DDGs and our DGs to ensure that we address all of the issues that have been raised in this committee. Further to that, there were specifics in respect to the death certificate of 2 years. If we could please get that information to Eddie, the committee secretary. And then there's also the one that was raised in the last presentation around the passports and decommissioning. I think those are the two issues that needed to get more information and clarity. With that, I want to thank all of you for bringing your petitions and presenting it. And we look forward to further engagement with yourselves. We, at this point, if you want to be excused, you are more than welcome to be excused. Is there anyone that can hear me?
Yes, Chairperson. Just to indicate that the Honourable Musa is back with us.
Okay, Chairperson, over to you.
Well, thanks, Chair. I'm struggling with the NLPLA, and apologies, I'm struggling with the network. And thanks for taking over, because the committee work as a collective. I've carefully listened to your summary, as you thank all the members. I think Honorable Bongani Bongo and Honorable Dejana, we want to request members, both of them, to respect the committee members. And I think I've noticed in our last committee meeting the exchange from Honorable Bongani to Dejana and Honorable Dejana to Honorable Bongo, and the interference as speakers talk. And I think we must say, rein in that part. The second point is that we allow members to contribute positively, even in differences with the department, to allow that. We don't marginalize members since we've presided over this committee. And I think that is one issue that we need to deal with. The demonstration of arrogance will not work. I must affirm that. All of us, and we have not demonstrated that to any member or members, have conducted themselves around that place. And this emerging trend may need to be dealt with as it emerges. And I think we owe this to the public who have voted us parliament to preside over the issues that we must communicate and conduct oversight to the department. And we plead that you don't need to respect the chairperson. It doesn't matter. Respect the collective of the committee of members of parliament. And I plead to you, Honorable Bongani Bongo and Honorable Dejana, on the emerging trends that I'm observing. And we do this thing on behalf of members of the committee. Thanks, in that front. Honorable Mr. Samuel, can you brief us on the quickly, because members are going to the House. The sitting started too, and they had to travel to various to the sitting on the issue that you raised. And briefly, the Minister, I request you to deal with two issues which I have requested you just to brief the committee on the ZEP Aljama matter. Yeah. Samuel, thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, just to, as I was briefly indicating, the Speaker wrote to the Chairperson of the Committee indicating a request for a quarterly update on the progress on the recommendations on the State Capture Report as they related to Parliament and specifically our Committee. In this regard, there were three specific and one general recommendation that related to the Committee. And we've just provided a brief update on this, and we're required to do the response by the 15th, so by Thursday. So, firstly, the first recommendation was that Parliament should consider whether introducing a constituency-based proportional system would enhance democracy and what its advantages and disadvantages would be. And I provided an update on the progress on the Electoral Amendment Act, specifically the so-called sunset clause, and the panel, electoral review panel, and that the Electoral Commission consider consequential amendments to other legislation in the Electoral Act in terms of improving the electoral system. So the timelines here, which I found online, but I've asked for confirmation from the department, were that the minister issued an advert for inviting members of the public to nominate qualified persons to serve on the 9-member electoral reform panel, the closing date was the 1st of June, and the closing date for the panel, or the timeline set by the sunset clause, was the 17th of August for that panel to be established. Secondly, that the panel must report on its findings within 1 year, so this is a timeline on that recommendation from the state capture report. And in the meeting on 2nd June, the DHA indicated it could complete the draft Electoral General Laws Amendment Bill within the 6 weeks that it would have taken Parliament to initiate the bill itself. And then secondly, the recommendation is that Parliament should consider whether it is desirable to enact legislation which would protect members of Parliament from losing their party membership merely for exercising their oversight duties visibly and in good faith. And this recommendation also relates to the electoral reform panel and will be forwarded to this panel once it's established as something that can be included in future amendments to the Act. And so we give in the last column there a similar kind of timeline based on the establishment of that panel. And then thirdly, there's a recommendation to amend the Political Funding Act to criminalize donations to political parties and the expectation of access to contracts. This is also something that's been referred to indirectly as part of the consequential amendments in the General Electoral Laws Amendment, and will be something that we can consider as we go forward with that bill. And again, as it's indicating what the timeline for this for the establishment of this bill would be, which based on the two June commitment would be the 14th of July, whilst we are in recess, and we'll be arranging meetings in recess to address that. And then there was a general recommendation to improve parliamentary oversight over issues of corruption and fraud and to ensure separation of powers. And here, just indicating that the committee has regular engagements with the department on its efforts to address fraud and corruption, and particularly updates in its quarterly budget and performance reports, as well as the Electoral Commission and the Government Printing Works, and the newly established BMA. These reports include a discipline taken against fraud and corruption, but specific engagements on the state capture recommendations also form part of our schedule since 2020, where we include some of these recommendations in our committee's schedule. A particular concern during the state capture inquiry in the first parliament were irregularities in the issuing of permits to foreign nationals, and such concerns form part of a ministerial review panel on visas and permits, which reported in June 2022 and led to significant security changes in the immigration procedures at the DHA. This, however, added to delays in the issuing of permits and led to the PCHA committee planning an oversight visit to the immigration permit adjudication hub at the DHA head office in March 2023. And the indication there is just that the timeline that the committee has considered the recommendations of the state capture report as part of its briefing on the State of the Nation address during our strategic planning session, and now it's also today during this meeting, and we'll continue to do so going forward and in our legacy report for the next parliament. That's my summary so far, Chairperson. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Adams. I will request you to fly that letter we have received from. Then we will propose how we just to request the committee to consider our proposal. Can you fly the letter correspondent?
Yes, Jefferson. Give me one second. Sorry, I'm just having issues opening it. Can I ask? Okay, stop share. Okay, yes, there we go. Thank you.
I can just go through the letter. Members, this is the letter we have received for.
As indicated, the speaker wrote to the chairperson that the quarterly report by committees on parliament implementation plan to give effect to the recommendations in the report on the Judicial Commission of Inquiry into allegations of state capture, corruption and fraud in the public sector, including organs of state. And you are hereby reminded of the virtual meeting held and identified by chairpersons on the 5th of May to provide guidance and clarity on the approach to be followed in the above-mentioned matter. In alignment with the decision taken by the Joint Rules Committee, a quarterly report must be submitted by the respective committees to the Office of the House Chairperson. I just wish to bring your attention to that the first quarterly report is due by 15 June. Also, just to indicate to the chairperson that we also provided an administrative report on this in February, prior to that meeting held with chairpersons. So this is already our second report in this regard. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thanks, honourable members. This is the brief we have requested to table before the committee, and we know that we have not received the time frame from the minister. We've already requested the minister to give an indication so that we deal with this matter. I'll propose that we look on the circulation draft from Mr. Salmon in line with the issues arising from the commission, and then we circulate the notes for consultation to Mr. Salmon on the issues that are raised. But in the main, the electoral issues that are raised, the fraud issues that are corruption that are raised, and also we need to link up with the department on some of the issues that they may have identified as in the report of the Zondo Commission to enable the committee to respond to the correspondence that we have received. I'm trying to request that we can stand off this item and make contributions through to Mr. Salmon if there's any. And so that we forward progress. We have not dealt with this matter in the committee. We have not interacted or deliberated on the issues. So I want to draw attention that members may not have thoroughly dealt with the issues that are arising from the committee. We'll then able to seek to respond to the House Chair if there are other issues that we may not meet the deadline in terms of the progress update after we've interfaced with the department. Would that be sufficient, members, on how we must handle this matter? We give it time. We look on the Zondo Commission comments and consolidate the report as an update after deliberations.
Honorable Lizanne?
Yes, thank you, Chair. We are happy with your proposal. Support it. Thank you.
In contrast, Honorable Ross?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it looks fine to us. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Pillay?
Support it, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Kanyele?
Thank you, Chair. We support your proposal. Thank you.
Honorable Desk Journal?
Yes, Chair, what will you do together?
Honorable Bongo?
Support it.
Minister, can I get your attention on the matter so that we, because there are some of the issues that we ought to interact with you. Our approach does assist so that we get in touch with yourself and the Director General. Minister?
Yes, Chair, it does assist, but I think the most urgent one which we should include is that when we deal with the consequential amendment to the party funding, that part of criminalizing companies that donate in order to get tenders, I think it should be included in that consequential amendment as it's proposed. Maybe for that one we shouldn't wait, we should just make sure that the team that is putting up the consequential amendment must include it. Thank you very much otherwise.
Okay, thanks, members. Mr. Salmon, let's request members to make contributions before the due date. Let's set up on the 15th.
Yes, Chairperson. So if I may through you, just request that it be there, that submissions be given to me before the end of business tomorrow, but that's to submit the following day.
What I'm saying that I'm requesting that let's write a correspondence in response, because members ought to contribute and consolidate an update on the issues. We can deal with that separately now that we have the committee directors to interface with the Met. Members will contribute before that day of the 14th or the 15th, on the 15th, yes, so that we consolidate to the committee. I think we can leave it at that point, Mr. Salmon.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Minister, can you quickly deal with the two issues just an update on the matter we have been directed by the committee and feedback from the Altama matter, and also the ZEP as you have communicated through your correspondence. Then just update members so that we are at par with the issues. Thank you, Minister.
Thank you, Chair. On the Al-Jama issue, we met with Mr. Hendricks on the 17th of May, on the morning of the Home Affairs budget speech. We met and agreed on several issues. Number one, that we don't think there should be two parallel bills, meaning the executive bill and the private members bill. But number two, that all the issues that are proposed on the private members bill should be incorporated in the executive bill, because they are not really contradicting the policy, the marriage policy that has been passed. There's no contradiction there, so they can be incorporated. Number three, that we will allow help desks for people who are confused about the issue of registration of Muslim marriages as such, so that there are some people who are really helping them to guide them on what exactly to do. Number four, that the directives that were issued, you may remember that Honorable Hendricks was very much offended by the fact that because of non-registration of Muslim marriages, the death certificate of spouses come as never married. But I also then explained even to the committee that this is not only happening to Muslim marriages. I even gave an example that it also happened in my case to my own mother, and I was not aware of it because I was just new in Home Affairs. It so happened that it's happening to all couples that married before 1986 being the year in which the National Population Register came into being. So any couple that married before that but never came to Home Affairs to register the marriage, it will come as never married. But we thought for this purpose of Muslim marriages, we issued a circular. Now that circular has been rediscussed. When Minister Hendricks met me, he was with four senior councils and I was with my officials. We then agreed that the senior councils and my officials must meet to thresh up all the agreements. And perhaps because some of the senior officials are here, maybe they can just explain in short when did they meet and when the agreements were. But that's where we are, Chairperson. And the bill is appearing in front of the cabinet committee on the 15th, that is this Thursday, and we think it's the last leg of it going through committees. It will just be approved in parliament, and we will then give it over to members of the cabinet to deal with the issue, with the incorporation of all the issues that the private members' bill were proposing. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Can you move to the ZEP quickly, Minister?
Yes. The ZEP, Chairperson, if I may take you back, there were two issues that were happening. Firstly, we asked people to apply for waivers. And I realize in the media we explained this many times, but it looks like it's a difficult concept to understand. We asked them to apply for waivers while we are dealing with this issue of Zimbabwean exemption, which, as you know, was to end at the end of June this year. The reason that people must apply for waivers is that, for instance, when you apply for a general work visa, you must go to the Department of Employment and Labor, where your prospective employer must prove that the work that they want to hire you for, there's no South African who can do that work at all. Then if the Department of Labor and Employment agrees, they give you a certificate that we will bring to Home Affairs. Now, our argument was, since we are dealing with people who are already employed, because that was the condition for being given a ZEP in the first place, then we must waiver their having to go to the Department of Employment and Labor. Then they must go to the second step, which is the second thing that is happening. Apply for regular visas and permits, the 17 of them which exist in the country, starting from the general work visas, car skill visa, work visa, business visa, etc., etc., tourist visa, etc., etc., whichever one they believe is suitable for what they want. And I'm just mentioning them at random, there are 17 of them. Then you apply after getting that waiver. The second reason that people have to apply for waivers is that in the Act, certain permits, when you want to apply for them, you must do them in your country of origin. You can't come here to South Africa and start applying while you are inside the country. But we are saying, because we are dealing with people who are already here under certain circumstances, we also waiver them having to go back to country of birth and apply from there, as the Act is saying. Those are the way the applications that were supposed to have been done. Firstly, starting with the waiver, which are approved and signed by the minister, and then from there, the permits or visas, for which I announced that we have appointed the team chaired by the former Director General in the Presidency, Dr. Cassius Lubisi. Now, Chair, the problem that had happened was that quite a number of people ignored this application. And I think, in my thinking, I believe, it's because they were discouraged from applying by people who told them that there are court cases and the court is going to throw this whole concept out, so they should not bother. But secondly, there was a claim which was widely publicized that it doesn't help to apply because there are no responses. I personally have responded to many, many thousands and thousands of these waivers. And I think when people saw their friends or acquaintances receiving the waivers, they realized that it's not true that there are no responses. But secondly, because there are no court rulings, there's no judgment by the court, and people realize that they are left with a month. From the month of May, we started receiving an avalanche of application at the rate of 1,000 to 1,500 per day, which we had to deal with, and this started only from the beginning of May. So we looked at the situation and realized that no matter how hard we work, there's no way we will deal with this avalanche of application within the remaining month, which is now, as you know, is close to 2 weeks now. So we had no option but to extend so that we deal with these applications that are coming in. That is the only reason, Chair, that we had to do this extension. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister, for the update. Members, I had requested, in my opinion, that it would be important that the Minister give brief us on the two issues, because they are still on raise them later. Matter around that, I'm sure Mr. Minister will then you inform the committee when you bring back the matter formally, once you have consolidated with the council and also the Al Jamaa legal team for proper reporting to the committee. I think we appreciate that guidance of the committee to approach the matter as such. Is there any other matter, Mr. Matons?
Yes, Chairperson. What is on the agenda was the minutes. I'm not sure if you want us to go through them. It's only process. Then the other issue, I wanted to brief the committee on the study tour, if you agree on that.
Okay, yes. I think let's deal with the minutes, and then with the last item will be the study tour.
Okay, Chair, let me just... the minutes that we have postponed several times is the minutes of the 16th of May, wherein the department was briefing the committee on the third and the fourth quarter performance of 2022-2023 financial year. And then also in that meeting, there was an AG on the performance of the Home Affairs portfolio. The minutes have been circulated a long time ago, so...
I think... thank you, Mr. Matons. Members, these are the minutes as circulated and also read. We went through them. We did postpone due to the items that were on the agenda in the previous committee meetings. Is there any comment on the minutes before I invite for adoption?
Chairperson? I just want to check with Brian Eddie. There were some typo errors that I raised with him. If it's corrected, if it is, then I'm happy because I didn't receive the minutes back.
Oh, okay. No, I think that the one that you corrected, Mr. Play, is the 6th of June, not this one.
Oh, okay, sure. Chair, I'll move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honor Pile. In second?
Chair, I'll second.
Thank you, Honor Ross. The minutes of the 16th May have been carried by the committee. Can you move to the second minute, set of minutes?
The next one is 2 June, wherein the content advisor did a recap on the minister's document on the policy on political party funding. And then the Parliament Legal Service made a comment as well on the policy that the minister presented. And then there was the issue of consideration of
sorry, Mr. Matonzi, as the minutes have been circulated and read. Any comments on the minutes? Can I invite the second mover for the adoption?
Chairperson, I will move for the adoption.
Thank you, Honourable Zed. Honourable Zed, move for the adoption. Seconder?
I'll second, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Kanyile. Minutes have been carried. Can you move to the last minute, Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, the last minute. This is the 6th of June. This is a briefing by the IEC on the proposed amendments to the Electoral Act, Electoral Commission Act, and political party funding. Then also the document on the minister's policy document on the party funding. And then a briefing by the department, IEC, and government briefing works on the outstanding committee recommendation from 2019 to 2023. Yeah. That is all, Chair. So these are the minutes, Chair, Mr. Pillay, wherein you made some comments, and then I incorporated them. Unfortunately, I didn't highlight them, but I did incorporate them.
There you go.
Honourable Kanyile, can you mute, please? Honourable Kanyile, wait. Honourable Kanyile, can you assist us? Mr. Matons, can you remove Honourable Kanyile or you mute her?
Okay, let me just quickly. Yeah, she's muted, Chair.
Thank you. Can comments on the minutes? Honourable Pile, you raise your hand.
Yeah, Chair, I just wanted to clarify it wasn't amendments in the sense of making any additions. It was just typo errors and spelling errors, which I'm happy if it was corrected. Thank you, Chair. And I'll move for adoption.
Thank you, Honourable Pile. Move for the adoption. Any second?
I'm not sure if this is the meeting, but I think we would agree on meeting those people who are assisting with the CSAS thing. I'm not sure whether it should come out of this because we raised it consistently. Not sure it should be this minute. Maybe the meeting might guide us.
No, it's not on this minute. That the minutes that have already been adopted to conduct an oversight to that institution that deals with visas, yes.
Yes,
yeah. That minutes have been adopted.
Sir, we made an emphasis. We didn't just. I agree on the previous, but since then we have nothing that has happened, right? We then. On your conclusion, we said we need to this thing to happen. I'm not sure whether we should put it on the minute or not. Maybe I might be wrong. That's why I'm asking about it. I would not speak about it.
That's a new matter on this item. Let's deal with, let's refresh that point once we deal with this minute. There's a move of adoption. Can I recognize the conduct to the minutes? Honourable Pile has raised move for the adoption. Can I recognize seconder to the adoption of the minutes of this 6th June, the last committee meeting?
Chairperson, I'll second it.
Thank you, Honourable Ross. Seconding the minutes have been carried. The matter that Honourable Tejana is raising, Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, Chairperson, I wanted to indicate, although I can't remember when in the last meeting, but also this decision was taken during the press meeting in Johannesburg, and then, but it was also emphasized in one of the meetings that we should conduct an oversight to VFS
within 3 to 4 weeks. Then the challenge that it has, that decision has not been implemented. You will recall that on the 23rd and the 30th of May, we even had to cancel our meetings because of the budget vote. That's why it was not carried out. And normally, during the last week in recess, normally they will reserve the last week for oversight. So this week, Parliament is meeting. So that's why we're not able to get time to conduct that oversight. But we will conduct that oversight once there's a schedule that permits us to do so. That's all, Chairperson, okay. From my side.
Can you refer that matter to when?
That's the one I was referring to, Chairperson.
Noted. Can you refer that matter to Menko, Mr. Matonzi, so that we deal with that administration issue on the decision of the committee to visit the institution? I think it's fair if we summarize that. Thank you very much. Can you invite you, Mr. Matonzi, to brief the committee update on the trip, on the study tour?
Oh, okay, Chairperson and members. You recall that now the committee took a decision that we need to conduct a study tour. Initially, it was two countries. It was the USA and Brazil. But when the chairperson met with the house chair, it was recommended that no, we only visit one country. And then the committee took a decision that no, it should be Brazil. And there were various dates that we agreed on, but the latest date is the 23rd of June, which is next week, Friday, leaving South Africa to Brazil and coming back on the 2nd of July. What we have done with the chairperson previously was to ensure that now we make an application for all members to go on this important study tour because of this electronic voting, which is going to be new. And then the House Chair's office and the Speaker's office indicated that no, they can only approve only 5 members, 3 from the ANC, and then 2 from the opposition. And then the delegation as of now, which has been approved, is Mr. Chabane, the chairperson, Mr. Pillay, and Ms. Mlegwa from the ANC. And then from the opposition is Mr. Roas and Mr. Tejana. Also, the Select Committee on Security and Justice is also interested. They have made an application to join us. And then their application was also approved. And then they will be going with us. I'm sure the committee, there will be about 6 members from that committee. And then from the IEC, the IEC has also indicated that no, they would like to send 2 people to accompany the 2 committees. I do have 1 name so far, but we'll be getting another name now from the IEC today. Then we also have received, because we are communicating with the embassy, they have done a draft program, which is not yet confirmed. And then we'll meet, I'll just say, with the IEC from Brazil. They will take us through on the electronic voting. I think we'll spend time about 3 days with them. Then the embassy also is trying to get us to meet with the committee in the Brazilian parliament that deals with elections, but that meeting has not yet been confirmed. So that's that, Chair. And then where we are at the moment is that the application, political application, has been approved. What we are doing now, which I've seen Mr. Arendsen has done today, is to submit a financial application to ensure that once that is approved, then we are able to secure our flights and accommodation and ground transport that side, as well as interpreting services. Last week, I did send some forms, the travel insurance forms, to the members that are going on this trip. I'm still waiting for four to send back to me so that I can submit to Parliament so that we know that members, their insurance is confirmed by Parliament. So that's just Chairperson from my side.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Matons. I would request, Mr. Matons, that you also circulate the drafts details
to members so that they familiarize themselves with the issues we are going to deal with, and all the outstanding requests, yourself, Minister Arendse, we will make sure that all members that are on the list are also submitting those to you. You should note that the team of the IEC has been indicated. They are, what you call, the costs are going to be, are going to side with the IEC. So I think there must be clarity on that. We must also indicate that we have tried by all available avenues to discuss on the issues to include all members of the committee. However, given the resource allocations that we raised to the chair and also the secretary of the committee, and that includes all the committees that had to cut members of the West, which all of us will form part of that matter. I think we need to work on that, Mr. Matonzi. Lastly, I would request you again to follow up on the application that I've requested for you to make, so that we have at least two or three meetings during the recess to deal with the matter of the consequential amendments once the minister is ready. There's an indication that yourself and the team of the minister managed to work out to inform members on the dates and the readiness for the minister to come back to the committee and brief the committee on the consequential amendments. So those are the briefing members on the study tour, and I hope that Mr. Matons, as we proceed, will receive updates so that members are updated on the issues, including the select committee issues that may arise from there. Is that the matter that will be sufficient, Mr. Matonzi?
Yes, Chair. No, it covers everything.
Honourable is there?
Sorry, I just wanted to ask a question of clarity, and I hope it was just a mistake. But I heard Mr. Matonzi saying that the Justice Portfolio Committee is taking six members, but we are only taking five. And I mean, this is our issue. It's not really their core issue. So I just want us for consistency to make sure that committee isn't allowed six and we only allowed five. Because as far as I know, Honourable Frolic has now told all committees it's only five. It is something that my whip, of course, will be raising and has raised with the Speaker, because at the end of the day, for example, I serve as the member for the IFP, but I also represent all the other smaller parties. I represent the ACDP, the UDM, and all the others, because when we put members on these committees, we were asked to field, we were given two slots. So it's myself and Mr. Lakota, but we, amongst ourselves as smaller parties, had a meeting where we deployed certain individuals to certain committees. But we will take that up with the Speaker, but let's just make sure that Justice is not taking six and we only allow five, because that would be unfair. That would be my only plea, and then to wish colleagues well and to travel safe. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Not noted, Honourable Zell. I think I must say note that also a matter we are dealing with it with the committee secretary and the house chair on the issues that I did not to raise them in the meeting. Thanks, members. That's the only issue.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to clarify, Ms. van der Merwe, the committee that has been approved for six, it's not in the NA, it's the Select Committee on Security and Justice.
Okay, so
and initially that committee was approved for all members to go. They only cut down the number because for us it was only five. So they find it to be fair that they cut their delegation to six.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then also, just one thing, Chairperson, and then ongoing, the COVID requirements, you just need to show the COVID certificate. So I'm just saying for members that are traveling, just to check your COVID certificate.
Okay. Thanks, members. Thanks, Mr. Matonzi. Thanks, Mr. Salmon. All our issues, petitioners, the decision you've taken,
the briefing we've received from the minister. Thank you very much, Minister DM, DG, and DDG Mavuso, and honorable members for your contributions.
Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Pillay?
Yes.
Oh, I mean, Chairperson is leaving. Maybe you just have to close the meeting because it was about to close anyway.
Okay, no, thank you very much, members. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, colleagues. Bye.